This is a Forwardly podcast.
Hi, everybody. It's Colin.
Oh, hello. It's Cadence.
Oh, we're back again. How's it going? Halloween's around the corner.
Yeah, Addie's so excited. She's being Miss Argentina from Beetlejuice. You know who, like, when they die and Miss Argentina's there and she's, like, green and she's got that red dress.
Oh,
and
that's a good costume.
Yeah, she worked really, really hard on it. She's super excited.
Yeah, I don't know what I'm doing. Probably nothing, because I just got back from 2 weeks in the mountains.
You guys, yeah, what happened in the mountains?
Oh, you guys, the mountains. We decided to go. It was really relaxing mountain vacation. We decided to go up to Northern California, Tahoe-ish area, if anyone's familiar. And we were backpacking and hiking, trying to get in tune with nature, doing a little detox, like, you know, everything just connecting. You guys, there is 10,000 storms, a huge winter storm, the first winter storm of the season that knocked out all the power. So we had to go to this cabin in the woods, no power, no service, no internet. And that was the second. That was the second after the first one where there was a huge rainstorm after we were backpacking. So we switched after we backpacked, we went to one cabin in the woods, and then it started raining and it wasn't really working out. So we were like, okay, we're going to get to lower elevation. So we went to a cabin that was a little bit lower after another backpacking trip. And then when we got to that cabin, we were hit with a totally huge winter storm where we got 4 feet of snow overnight. It knocked out all the power. And we keep in mind, this is not our cabin. It was like an Airbnb situation. And we were just sitting in the dark, and this Airbnb had no candles. Oh, but they had a ton of emergency flashlights. They were prepared. Oh, we were so excited. Go. Not one damn flashlight fucking worked. So we literally,
like, the worst joke.
It was the worst joke. And we couldn't get out because, okay, this sounds like a scary movie, but we get this storm warning. The power goes out. So our car was parked in their garage. And because this is not our home, there is a manual way to open the garage, but it was locked, and we could not get our car out of the garage to even flee this cabin in the middle of the woods if we wanted to. And so we're scrounging around to light anything on fire that we can. We're like, get every candle that you can find in this damn house, find every battery. It was a reconnaissance mission. It was very scary, but we survived. We survived.
You did survive. I was just, for context, going to tell people that Northern California experienced a level 5 atmospheric river. So in some places, within 2 days, they got 16 inches of rain. And we haven't, it's been a catastrophic drought.
Always.
We haven't had rain for like 6 months. And so on some level, like, it put out a bunch of wildfires, and it refilled some, you know, some snowpacks and some lakes and rivers, but also it caused a ton of flooding because there's all these there's all these scarred mountainsides. And so it's just causing flash floods and mudslides. Highway 70 collapsed on itself.
One of the highways, there was a mudslide. My friend, he sent me a video of like Napa, like a river in Napa, and cars were like, it was wild, you guys. Northern California
Marin
experience.
Flooded, Santa Rosa flooded. Like, it was absolutely bonkers.
So, in a way, I want to say that it was kind of like fun and romantic, because it's like you're in a cabin in the woods with no power. But no, it wasn't, you guys, because it was just, we didn't have any, like, we had like 2 candles, so we couldn't even read a book.
You're sitting in the dark. Well, you know,
I'm blind as a fucking bat. So like,
it was different. It wasn't any different to you.
It wasn't
you felt your way around.
I did. I got all of it. Alex was like, wow, you're doing really good. I'm like, I know where everything is. Trust me. I'm used to this. When I take out my contacts, I have to feel with my foot. So anyway, it was a crazy thing. And it was also right before Halloween. So it was just a perfect setup for a scary movie. But anyway, it really was. Speaking of, did you guys listen to our Troll 2 episode?
Ugh. Yeah, speaking of real scary.
Speaking of the spookiest movie ever, oh my gosh, we got some really good feedback on that episode, you guys, because I think, and we just want to clarify again to you, that we don't change, like, these movie plots at all. Yes, we, like, give our spin on it, and we make jokes about it, but we don't, like, literally change anything.
We just, cannot take credit for the genius.
It's just I think
of these plots.
I think it's just sometimes when you hear these stories, when you're watching the movie, you kind of don't realize it. But when you're hearing the story told to you, you're like, this is the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard. So I had a couple people call me and they're like, we have to watch Troll 2. I have to watch it with you. We have to see it. And so I have like 3 Troll 2 viewings lined up.
I was going to say, I hope you like get them all out of the way at once, because I would not want to sit through that 3 separate times in a short window.
I could sit through it 1,000 different times. And we had a few people definitely know who Gert was. Absolutely. In a heartbeat, Gert. Anyway, today we're not so excited to bring you this movie. Okay, before
Speak
we start,
for yourself.
Before we start, let's clarify a couple things. This movie technically is not considered a B movie. It had very high production. It had big actors, but it
made a shit ton of money.
Shit ton of money. And this is the most bizarre thing I've ever seen. It has a 92% on Rotten Tomatoes. People loved it.
Love it. Genuinely love it.
But it was
made. I thought the reviews were ironic at first, but they're not.
No, people loved it. I remember I was young because this movie was made in like 1996. So I was actually pretty young, but I remember it being like all over because it had John Travolta. Right. It had Nicolas Cage. And I think in the 90s.
And this was peak Nick Cage time as well.
Peak Nick Cage. And I think in the 90s, it was like it was cool for the time, I guess. I don't know why, because when you watch it now. Okay, let's back up. We have some movies that we love to watch that are generally good. Bolero was uncomfortable, but fun. Troll 2 is fun, blah, 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 blah. Then there's every once in a while, because rather, if you believe us or not, Cadence and I genuinely love to watch bad movies when we're alone together.
Oh, man. So, it's our favorite. Like, we compile lists.
Yes.
And then we try to make our way through them when we see each other in person. So it's just like our favorite, genuine favorite pastime.
And there's one movie that we're going to do eventually. But when we watched it, we hated it. We were so filled with anger that we like impromptu recorded a video, which I think someday we'll post on Instagram. I think it might be on YouTube, but that movie, we'll save it for another time. But when we watched this movie again, we felt that rage. It wasn't like, oh, this is good. It was like, this is insulting to the intelligence of every person that's ever watched it or going to watch it in this day and
age. Yeah, it feels like, it's one of those situations where I want to kind of like ask anybody involved with their production, like, did you think that nobody would have follow-up questions? And you know what? The premise is interesting. It's an interesting premise. But the way, and I think there was probably a way they could have done it, that it could have been a little bit interesting and they could have, I don't know, it could have been better.
They could have done
so many different choices.
Oh, you guys.
That are confounding.
Yeah. And it's like the whole time you're watching it, you're like, it's insulting to the intelligence of the viewer. And you're like screaming at the movie, like, how the hell do you expect our tiny little pea brain audience to get this? Like, Hollywood, you're insulting us.
It's the lib. It's the lib media or whatever they call it.
Right. But so it was the 90s. It was a different time. It was a perfect. Yeah. I think it's because it's the 90s, you guys. And the 90s was a different time. People just ate that shit up. But if you couldn't guess what...
I mean, freak, don't you remember Con Air? Nicolas Cage in Con Air?
I didn't... I haven't seen Con Air. I gotta watch
that. Massive budget, made a ton of money. It's this crazy movie about freaking convicts on a plane that crash it. Like, it's so... Anyway.
We loved it. 90s was big on airplane crashes and stuff like this. Well, if you guys couldn't guess what movie we're doing, it stars Nicolas Cage and it stars John Travolta. And it was made in the 90s, and it was huge and big budget, and 92%, everybody loved it. It's called
Face Off. Face/Off.
We'll be right back. All right, so without getting too upset, I think this movie, the plot, we're going to give you a plot summary, introduce you to the two main characters, give you basic rundown, okay? The movie's not that hard to get. There are a lot of complicated, like, stupid things that they put in, so we're kind of going to more just give you a overview of the story and just kind of point out a couple of things, maybe go on some angry rants.
I only have pages of notes.
I have notes too, because I watched it again and I was angry watching it. Okay. So the basic premise is that John Travolta is a very good, high up there FBI police officer-ish type of person.
FBI special agent.
Yes, FBI special agent. He's a very good guy. He's got a family, a beautiful wife, a daughter. He had a son,
right,
that Nicolas Cage killed. And Nicolas Cage is just a rotten, good-for-nothing terrorist bastard. You know, he's that crazy causing leather jacket. Chaos. He's just a chaos causing, leather jacket wearing, chain smoking, crazy pants. And because Nicolas Cage...
Peach eating crazy pants.
And because... he's a crazy pants. He shot Nicolas Cage's son. This is the very beginning scene. We're not giving too much away. And that causes this total lifelong, you are my arch nemesis, Nicolas right. Cage. John Travolta's out to get his revenge, but Nicolas Cage is still taunting John Travolta. And for some reason, they keep just cat and mousing each other. They can just never get each other, okay? So that's the
basic
plot. It's
been 6 years.
6 years after the son is shot.
And the FBI comes up with a special mission that they think is finally going to be able to catch Nick Cage.
Yes. And so, again, without we're just giving a very simple run through, these two men literally get their face skin peeled off and slabbed on each other's faces. We'll go through how this happens, because trust me, lots of questions.
Get it? Face off their... actually taking their faces off, but also facing off with each other.
It's just a filled with thoughtful on double entendres. No, that's not a double entendre. So yes, that's the basic premise. They literally switch face skins, and then they because they dirty, slabby, bloody face skins just get slabbed on their bloody faces. And we'll get into it. And yeah, don't start now
because it's so much to come.
They basically take each other's places and try to bring down each other in each other's places. That's the basic premise of the movie.
Yeah. And I also, we kind of talked about this just briefly before we hopped on, because there is an inherent confusion because they are playing each other for part of this movie. So just keep in mind that we're going to be referring to them, like, obviously as John Travolta and Nicolas Cage, but we're going to be saying, like, John Travolta as Nicolas Cage, like, when he's got Nicolas Cage's face on, and Nicolas Cage as John Travolta when he's got John Travolta's face on, just to be clear. Just know that they're playing each other, so if you get confused, just go back to that. They have each other's faces on.
Yep. All right, so as I mentioned earlier, the movie starts off really happy. Oh, John Travolta's just riding a carousel. He's having the time of his little life. And you see Nicolas Cage back in the bushes, smoking a cigarette with his crazy eyes.
Let me just for a moment correct you that he's not in the bushes at all. He's in a wide open field.
Okay, well, there's
like
a small
sharpshooter in
there's a small shrub. There's a small shrub in front of him, okay? But yes, we've got a Pacific Blue situation with that guy, the sniper that was literally just midday on the beach sniper. So he's standing in, this is midday. You don't see John Travolta's son, you just see John Travolta riding this carousel wheel. It's great. Nicolas Cage takes a shot. Actually, he shoots John Travolta, but in the meantime, John Travolta was holding his son, and his son dies, but the bullet hits John Travolta's chest but doesn't kill him. And John Travolta is mortified. He's just crying and screaming over... I mean, your son died. I mean, I guess he's got some reason to be upset.
The point is that this sets up the whole mythological rivalry between them two, because And you never understand why Nicolas Cage shoots at John Travolta on the merry-go-round.
Nobody knows.
I guess because he's just a chaotic terrorist.
Cadence, pure chaos. He doesn't need, it's Nicolas Cage. He doesn't need
he should be part of the Goblin Gang.
Yeah, he has no morality. You don't need to question his morality. I do love his really smoky eye at the beginning, though, like his eyeliner.
Oh, so good.
Because it's like a real good close-up, and it's like a beautiful smoky, like he's got mascara eyeliner on. Anyway, yeah, it doesn't really totally explain, but I guess it makes you think that later in the movie that there's kind of this rivalry situation that's Batman and Robin.
There's not kind of rivalry.
Oh yeah, it's a full Batman-Robin.
They've been hunting each other for 6 years.
Full Batman-Robin.
No, Batman-Robin are friends.
Batman and Joker, sorry.
I was like, what Batman are you watching?
I've never watched Batman, I don't know. Give me a break.
I don't watch Batman either, but I know that.
Also, like, if you're an international terrorist, a crazy person, I think you would want to kill someone in a less obvious place than a freaking carousel parade thing.
Like, if you're a terrorist mastermind, you're going to... Like, I mean, you guys, he takes off of his trench coat. He throws it full on 12 feet in the air and then lays down in a wide open field to take the shot. It's like, where's the merry-go-round that it's next to a wide open field?
That's what I'm saying. He's like, he's on the edge of a carnival.
Yeah.
There's so many people walking around. Like, nobody notices.
Such a weird place to choose. I don't know. So, yeah, for him being a criminal mastermind that can evade the FBI for 6 years, he's making some pretty obvious choices. But moving forward, that's just to set the scene. That's why they're against each other. That's what's haunting John Travolta. And it sets up this mythological rivalry. So fast forward. Because that's a flashback. Fast forward to present day. It's 6 years later. John Travolta's in his office. Guys, he's earned so many awards. Plaques. Awards are hanging all over the wall.
It's John Travolta. He's got everything. He is a big friggin' deal.
Yeah, and he's currently trying to solve a problem. A terrorist problem. And he's talking to his team, and he says...
Any word from the LAPD intelligence? If there is such a thing?
Not yet, sir.
Of course not. Because we're a covert anti-terrorism team that is so secret that when we snap our fingers, nothing happens.
Oh, he goes full black government conspiracy. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. He's a bigwig. We snap our fingers, and it all goes away. He just knows. He knows.
He knows that no one else knows.
He knows that no one else knows and no one else can give him any information because no one knows. So he's asking questions that he knows he can't get answers to because, again, like we said, nobody knows. So he's trying to figure this out. And then...
Meanwhile, we
get the idea that he's moved on. He's still working for the FBI. Meanwhile, we go and we're introduced to Nicolas Cage, who, again... You know, everyone knows Nicolas Cage. He's a hotbox actor and like over the top.
Hotbox actor?
Like, what would you say? Like a lunatic actor?
Hotbox is a very specific thing.
A hothead maybe is what I was thinking. He's a hothead.
Maybe.
He just keeps farts in the sheets and just always, he loves it. That's how crazy
he
is.
Do not work with Nicolas Cage. He hotboxes everyone.
Loves it. So we see that Nicolas Cage has created some kind of bomb-like situation, but because he's Nicolas Cage and he just is a chameleon to the world, he's introduced as the priest of a church, I guess?
Yeah, he's planting this bomb as a priest. Full costume.
So a couple questions here. Do you have to go to preschool? I mean, did just let anybody be a priest? Because I would like to mention that he's planting this bomb. He's in full priest costume. And he's at his church, apparently, where there is a...
No. That's actually not the church. I actually was kind of... I don't exactly know where it is, but it's a central building in Los Angeles. And it's, like, centrally located. It's, like, a public office. I can't remember if it's, like, a train station, something, like, along those lines. Because the bomb he's planting is going to essentially flatten all of LA.
You're absolutely right. It gives you the church in inspiration because there's a huge choir singing. So already, now that you said that and I recall, you're right. It's not a church. It almost looks like a mall.
Yeah, and it's bizarre because you're like, is he undercover as the priest because this massive religious choir is singing, and so he thinks he blends in with the vocal performing that's happening. Like, because if you think about it, if it's like a train station, public transit place,
yeah, whatever this,
why would he
is.
Need to be dressed as a priest in order to be in disguise?
I don't know.
Literally be wearing anything because thousands of people are passing through this place every single day.
Yeah.
So I don't get it.
I don't get it. But anyway, there's a giant church choir singing, and he's just, he's being insane, saying the weirdest stuff.
He's headbanging to the...
Oh, rocking
out. They're singing
out.
A hymn.
It's like he's at a rage... He's like at a Rage Against the Machine concert, headbanging in the front of the choir. But you get the idea that Nicolas Cage is just a wild one, okay?
He's unhinged.
So he's unhinged.
Absolutely unhinged. So... Meanwhile, let's cut to the airport because he's making his getaway. He's planted the bomb and he's trying to escape with his crew, okay? It's important to note that part of his crew is his brother. His brother's name is Pollux. So he meets his crew at the airport.
Who are all pure 90s Matrix, pure bad guy, pure Pacific Blue bad guy, trench coats, dark sunglasses, long hair, goatees.
And, at this point, Nicolas Cage has changed from his priest outfit because, as Colin mentioned, he's a chameleon.
Oh, yeah.
So he's wearing the most luscious silk outfit, and he's got this gold dragon money clip. Like,
oh, the gold dragon money clip. I loved it. Best thing because, you know, wealthy chameleon crazy people always just are covered in gold jewelry. And you know what? If I was that priest, like, choir, I'd be like, where'd our priest go? Where'd that guy go who brought us here? Like, did he bring us here? And yeah, I'm questioning if he was just undercover as a priest because he knew a choir was there, where was the actual priest? Like, who was controlling this choir? Did they just show up? Did they just be like, hey, as a choir, let's go sing at a mall or whatever we're singing at? Like, did Nicolas Cage plan that whole thing? I don't know. Lots of questions there.
Did he organize the vocal performance?
I know. I'm like, did he actually go to, like, preschool, was a monk for a couple years just to be able to vocalize that performance? But yes, he set up his bomb. He's at the airport. Gold money clips. Making deals. I would like to mention that his brother, Pollux, is kind of trying to play, like, what would you say? Like, that kind of crazy, like, genius? Like, he's kind of...
Right.
I would say, like, one of those, like, kooky, he's kind of weird and blah, blah, blah. And he does a real good job at it. Real good.
26 minutes late. Casing didn't fit, right? See, I told you goddamn Dietrich would try to pawn off some cheap shit North Korean plastic.
Yeah, he made some bold choices as that character. He's taking like a private jet to get the hail out of LA, and he tells somebody on the tarmac, he's like,
and stay away from downtown on the 18th. It's going to be a little smoggy.
That's his joke about the bomb going off.
Oh, he's a clever one.
He really is. So the flight attendant is just, she looks like a normal old run-of-the-mill flight attendant. And he's like,
sit.
And so she does. And then he goes,
you know, I can eat a page for hours. If I were to let you suck my tongue, would you be grateful?
And you think, because she's a flight attendant, that she's going to be like, fuck you, and why the hell would I suck your tongue? But instead... she starts sucking his tongue.
Yeah, that's what happened every time I go on a flight. The flight I went to meet you in Mexico. That's exactly what happened. I did that to the flight attendant. She was 56 years old, and I was like, hey, you want to suck my tongue? And
would
she did it.
Would you be grateful if I let you suck my tongue?
And she was like, you know what? I'm a flight attendant. I got to make the guests happy. You know what?
I'll
go sit on your lap in a couple minutes and I will suck your tongue. So you get the idea that he's just a super perv, but the plane starts taking off. It's ready to go. He thinks he's making an escape, but hells no. Hells no. Who's going to show up? JT, our man, John Travolta.
Yeah, a Jeep just comes barreling on the runway. JT is in that Jeep, John Travolta. There's this incredibly tense chase, and during the chase, the flight attendant makes a call, and guess what? You realize in this moment that the flight attendant is actually an undercover FBI agent.
Oh, that's why she was playing that whole sucky tongue. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. She just had She's to do it for in work. Deep,
if you know what I mean.
I bet she was like, oh man, the things I do for this show, I really got to quit. I just want to become a veterinarian. I can't do this anymore.
I really can't suck one more tongue.
I can't suck another terrorist tongue. I really need to make my life story. I'm just tired of this. These passengers get weirder and weirder every day. But I would like to mention that during this chase, this is when you know the movie's good, because the Jeeps are coming up and then John Travolta runs to a helicopter, gets in a helicopter,
kicks some dude out.
Oh, Allie, she's all, hey, my helicopter for 20 years. And he's like, Allie, get the fuck out. I got bigger fish to fry. So he kicks it out. All the while, this plane is trying to take off. Nicolas Cage has got a golden gun. Because again, everything's gold. Because he's crazy.
Matches his money cup.
And he's just like, pilot, you take off. You take off, pilot. But then, as they're about to take off, no, you guys, John Travolta lands the helicopter on the airplane.
Yeah, it's not enough that there was a high-speed chase. Like, he, driving the Jeep, thought he could, like, chase down a plane on the runway. He has to actually get into a helicopter and try to, like, smush the plane.
Anyway, he has time to start up this helicopter. He has time to get it up in the air, and then he lands on it, and they're staring off. So Nicolas Cage is in his plane holding the gun to the pilot's head. John Travolta's in the helicopter. It's a showdown to the end, and that plane does not take off. It crashes into a building. And so in this moment, John Travolta sees Nicolas Cage's brother, Pollux, jump out of the plane. Everyone's shooting at him. Pollux is trying to hide. It's a whole thing, okay? The police and the FBI end up getting a hold of Pollux. They get him down. They have a gun to his head. They know it. Then, after all this shootout kind of ends, which is, again, bizarre, it's like, I love that John Travolta, like, shoots something and flies up Indiana Jones style on a chain, and then it's all crazy. But it comes down to what we would say is a face-off between John Travolta and Nicolas Cage. Gun to gun, face to face, staring deeply into each other's eyes. And Nicolas Cage's performance, wow. He's just a loose cannon, this one. So long story short of it, guys, after this face-off, John Travolta, he does this nifty little trick, and he knocks out Nicolas Cage, his character perfect. He's out.
Nicolas Cage's character.
It's a really amazing scene. And basically, Nicolas Cage is out. He's, you know, possibly in a coma. We don't know. But
because he's unconscious, they get him into custody, and they've also arrested his brother Pollux, and that is all you need to know about that. They both end up in the custody of the FBI. John Travolta gets home. It's been a long day of landing helicopters on planes, high-speed chases on runways.
You know he's stressed out, too, because his tie is put down, top of his shirt's unbuttoned. He is just ready to say the Pledge of Allegiance in his American-inspired home.
Yeah, he's got one whole corner of his living room dedicated to, like, America and all of his job
awards. Just to really drill it into the viewer's head that he is a good guy that is working for America.
He's a patriot.
He just wants to kick off his shoes, read the Declaration of Independence, sit in front
just
of a fire.
Just say a little Pledge of Allegiance.
Just say a Pledge of Allegiance to the flag. Make a little golden eagle. You know, he just this is a long day work.
That's how he unwinds. Don't judge. Oh, don't judge. So just to set the stage too, his wife's name is Eve, and she is a doctor. She's very smart, and she is covered head to toe, not an inch of skin to be seen.
She
not
loves
an inch.
You know she's a doctor because she has full turtleneck, full cardigan over, and then a jacket over it. And yes,
I think they were trying to imply, like, because she's a really smart professional doctor, like, there is not one sexualized thing about her. No. She is down to business.
She gets down to business. She will tell you if you're having a heart attack real quick. And I just would like to mention, a painted visual, she's got this beautiful, like, grandma vibe going on. Like, her beautiful grandma hair, and her eyebrows are about as thin baby piece of paper.
All of us in the 90s made that
we love.
Egregious error.
Oh, that's one of the good things about the 90s is just the makeup and the way people looked. It's great.
And this woman's beautiful. It's Joan Allen. It's just,
oh,
they
yeah,
made her,
gorgeous.
Like, I mean, look, 20 years older than him, and her hair is...
Kaden, like, she is a doctor. She does not have time to put on makeup. She does not have time to do her hair. She is full. Got to get that turtleneck on and get out the door. She's got to go meet Jenna. So, they got to talk about the sea.
They're like both with their briefcases. Oh, God. So, yeah. So he gets home and he has a wife and daughter, and they're fighting. It's a real big conflict. Ugh, and
conflict at home. John Travolta's had a hard day, and now he's got to come home to this.
Exactly. He's like, do I have to solve conflicts wherever I am, private or professionally? This is just not fair. So his daughter has been kicked out of school for getting into a fight.
Again. So you know she's just a problem child. She's a rough, crazy girl.
Right. The thing we kind of just want to touch on in this particular moment is there's a really dramatic reveal. Okay. So his daughter is.
They haven't shown her yet. Yeah. She's looking out the window yelling at her mom, as daughters do.
Mm-hmm. And he comes in and he's like, what happened? And the mom's like, oh, you know, she got kicked out of school again. And he's like, oh, what are you like? What's the problem? And she's like, it wasn't my fault. Why would you ever be on my side?
I am always on your side, but you have to give me a chance.
Now what?
She was suspended again. Some kid made a crack about her clothes.
She started a fight.
That's right, Dad. Don't even ask me what happened.
Okay. What happened? Oh, I see.
Not like you would believe me anyway.
Jamie, look, it's not easy, okay? I mean, look, you change the way you look every week in the way you act. Who are you supposed to be now?
I'm supposed to be me.
You guys, it's the most ridiculous fucking makeup you could ever see. She painted like spider eyebrows.
Eyelashes.
What? Eyelashes, mm-hmm. I guess.
With eyeliner. She made them with eyeliner.
Eyeliner. Eyelash spider star things on her eyes. We're definitely putting a clip of that because it's a dramatic introduction to this character.
Oh, they play the most dramatic music like someone's dying.
And guess what? She's got a nose ring in. She's got
crazy hair.
She's got dark lipstick on. And she is just trying to be herself, god damn it.
Yeah, and her dad is like, I mean, John Travolta is kind of a dick. He's like, oh, who are you supposed to be now? And she's
I'm
like,
supposed to be me. And then she yeah. storms off, you guys, in the most dramatic, clumsy way. She hits her mom, falls in the kitchen, hits the door, runs away. And she's just ping ponging off of everything. The most dramatic hormonal girl. And then she goes and slams her door 1,000 times.
And he's like such a jerk about it. He's just like, I mean, he literally is like, can you blame them? Like, you look like this? And you're someone new day? Like, I would punch you in the face,
you
too.
You look fucking ridiculous, girl.
It's such a weird reaction. He's, like, not supportive of her at all. Meanwhile, she's processing, I mean, the fact that her little brother died 6 years previously, that her dad's, like, emotionally abandoned their family in order to catch the guy who killed her little brother 6 years previously. Like, it's a pretty fucked up dynamic, but... He comes home to Eve with good... I mean, the daughter storms off and he's like, yeah, I'll take care of that later, I guess. For now, I just want to let you know, Eve, that after 6 years...
It is over.
It's over.
I got him. It's over. We can move past this. And Eve takes a minute to give him a big old... puts her briefcase down, gives him a hug, checks his heart rate, blood pressure. She's like, great.
You do seem more relaxed.
She just gets her little blood... she has a doctor's stethoscope. Let me hear her. That's right. Okay. Let's go read the Declaration of Independence. So basically, the chapter's closed. They're happy. He's kind of like, I'm ready to quit. I'm ready to live a life with you. I'm ready to
get some boring desk job.
Yeah.
I'm not going to be out in the field anymore. Don't worry. Like, you'll have me back. The 6 years I've been gone, I've emotionally abandoned all of you, but it's worth it. He's caught. I can come back and be present. John Travolta goes to work the next day.
He goes to work the next day. A hero, you guys. Full claps. The whole damn building is slow clapping. There's that one guy that starts the slow clap, and then everybody's just like, you, John, you got him. You go. But
this is a moment for John Travolta's character to be like, I'm so sorry. Why are we clapping? Because as far as I remember it, we lost a lot of agents yesterday. And why are we clapping? What about so-and-so? What about so-and-so? What about Agent Pincus? I remembered that name specifically because
Pincus.
It was such a cool name.
John Travolta's so like, just taken that high road. Don't give me praise. Don't give me praise for landing a helicopter on a freaking plane. Anyone can do it.
Where did they land it?
Anyone can do that on a freaking plane. Anyone can do it. Oh, and you know who died too? You know who also lost her life? I forgot to say. The flight attendant.
Flight attendant.
Nick Cage just pushed that bitch out the window and she got run over by that plane. Totally did. It's really sad.
It was not a dummy at all.
It was not a dummy covered in rag hair. Let's just take a moment of peace for that flight attendant. Could you imagine
the tongue?
You could have sucked a tongue and then she's like, bitch, you threw me out of your plane. I was an FBI agent.
You sucked your tongue and this is how you're going to do
it. I didn't even get my peach eaten for a while. That was her last thing before she hit the pavement and got run over by the plane. I could have got my peach eaten.
For hours.
He said he could do it for hours. I was kind of looking forward to that there.
I thought it was going to be a fair trade. I suck a little tongue. He eats a little peach.
She was like, you know what? I have to do what I have to do for the job. And I thought I'd have a little bit of time on the side. So, side note. That bitch got pushed out of the plane real quick, so she's one of his fallen comrades.
Now let's take a moment of silence for her, being like, "I could have had my peach eaten."
Her fist is up before she dies. You, I'll get you. Just wanted to bring a moment. That's one of the many colleagues that John Travolta lost that day.
Right, right, right. So he goes into. He's like, "Can we all calm down, please? We should not at all, in any way, shape, or form, be celebrating." Get it together. Calm down. He goes into his office and he has a moment, a ceremonial moment where he brings up Nicolas Cage's like case file, like computer case file on his screen.
And you guys, this is pure 90s computer magic. In the 90s, people were mind blown.
So he opens up the Nicolas Cage's criminal profile and then he presses case closed and there's this big screen that's like case closed. So just in case you were wondering if he caught Nicolas Cage, he did. And now the case is closed and he can move on.
Oh yeah.
But this is where what you're saying comes in. Out of nowhere, Special Ops shows up and they're like,
Hey, JT, we just saw you put that case file away that says case closed.
Actually, I got some news for you.
You may want to open that
you
right
may
back
wanna
up.
Open it right back up, bud.
We got a little news. We conveniently found this disc that outlines the structure of the bomb and the entire plan to flatten the city.
It's another Deep Blue Sea situation. It's a floppy disk that's just like bomb to destroy city.
Yeah, and it's like the whole plan on this disc.
And they
so
put it in.
So that's what you're talking about. So they put in the disc and then...
They find out that Nicolas Cage character was going to blow up the city in this foresaid mall downtown convention center type situation where the choir was singing. And this is like where I say the 90s magic comes in because it's like bomb underneath this can set off this and all these computer graphics that don't make any sense. And everyone's just, oh my God, we got to find this bomb. What the
hell
are
we gonna
do? And
then you know that his little brother is a genius because he set up this like really intricate computer animation like explainer for the bomb.
It's so good. Yes, yes. His little brother made this presentation.
So Nicolas Cage is still unconscious from the shootout, but they do have his little brother, like we said, Pollux, and they've been trying to get Pollux to tell them the location of the bomb. He's not going to break, guys. He's a terrorist.
Well, he's also a little kooky. He's just a little, like, you know, all over the place, like giggly and weird and, you know, just acting like.
So John Travolta's like, we got to get to this bomb. Like, I don't care what we do, we have got to like evacuate people, like we have to figure out where this is. And the head of the FBI is like, I'm not gonna let you go out on a hunch. And I'm like, it's not a hunch, you have a disc. You have a
disc with the exact look. Like, it literally just laid the whole thing out. The only thing the disc did not say is exactly where it was. But otherwise, it laid out every part of the operation, like in different chapters. The brother is a genius, but he's also very organized.
I'm pretty sure a disc outlining the whole plan to bomb the city is concrete proof. No, I don't work for the FBI.
I don't know what I do. Whatever. Let's figure out a plan.
So John Travolta gets really angry and he's like,
just run the goddamn bureau any way you like.
You walked in as I was putting that case closed file up. I'm done. I'm shutting the door. I'm going home. I'm reading the Declaration of Independence. And I am spending the night with my doctor wife who's going to check my blood pressure.
I was closing that case and I will continue to close it. So the other special ops team that brought in the disc, they, meanwhile, are still grilling Pollux, Nicolas Cage's brother, and they're begging him, please tell us the location. But like we said earlier, he's absolutely not going to do that.
Tight so lip sink ships. That's his thing. He does not. Nope. No. I'm a crazy genius. All right. So John Travolta's over this. He's like, okay, there's a bomb out there. Your FBI, you figure it out however the fuck you want. I'm going to go home to my doctor wife. So he goes home to his doctor wife. And then this is where you learn that the family dynamic's really bad. He's cold to his wife, doesn't want to be with her. You know, the whole thing. He's just really stressed out. He's had a busy day. Lots going on. And now there's a bomb in the city. He's got a lot on his mind. Anyway, next day, he goes back. And Special Ops has had the night. They had a night to think about it. They went out to their local Chili's. They had a margarita. They developed they're brainstorming, like, how the hell are we going to get this all crazy to talk? And how are we going to find this damn bomb?
So they ask John Travolta to talk to Pollux. They think maybe because he's so good at his job that they could get him, you know, he can do the magic combo that's going to get him to talk. But
Be the bad cop.
Right. Not even John Travolta can get him to talk. So he comes out and he's like, listen, this is never going to happen. I don't know how we're going to find this bomb. And they're like, hey, we actually did have another idea. The gang was at Chili's last night, and we came up with something. It's really kind of dangerous.
We were having the Bloomin' Onion, and as we were having the Bloomin' Onion, the skin fell off of the onion, and it gave us this, like, idea. Like, just hear us out.
And so they're like, don't ask where we're going. Just hop in the car. Let's drive. So they take him to the
secret mad scientist. Of course, another B movie trope. Yeah, they take him to a mad scientist lab somewhere that he doesn't know.
Even though he's in special ops or the secret part of the FBI, he does not know about this.
As you mentioned earlier, nobody knows anything. Who knows? How does anything get done in this situation? Because in the beginning of the movie, he was like, nobody knows what we're doing. I don't know what we're doing, whatever. But anyway. Questions.
So they're like, you might recognize this guy we're doing a surgery on right now. In case you didn't, it's your partner who got his ear blown off in the shoot off. And just look what we're doing. Meanwhile, there's a little machine with lasers that's constructing an ear.
Oh, it's pure fifth element. It's
just gluing right on this guy's head.
You know what? I don't want it reconstructed in that. I want my ear from off of the back of a mouse.
From the back of a mouse. So, so he's saying, the doctor's telling John Travolta, just look, like, if we can reconstruct this ear, think of all the things we can do in this lab.
And don't just think. He's like, come here. Come with me.
That leads me to my next point.
My next PowerPoint slide. Click. Come with me. Follow me, John Travolta.
So they're saying, listen, the ear is one thing. It's one step on the way to a face. So,
you know what? We connected the dots, and if we can grow this ear in goo, we just thought, you know what? Next a face.
Next we can grow a face. So they say...
What we're suggesting for you, Archer, isn't a permanent transplant like that. Just a temporary trade. Come here. With the new anti-inflammatories, healing takes days, not weeks. Your blood types won't match, but Pollux won't know that. Height difference is negligible. Skin pigment, eye pigment, both almost identical. We'll use laser shears for the hairline, micro plugs for body hair. We'll do an abdominoplasty, take care of those love handles. But all that's the easy part. Here's the real science. This is a state-of-the-art morphogenetic template. The inside is modeled on your skull. The outside exactly like Troy's. Then we fit his face on top. Not a replica, but the real thing. Then we simply connect the muscles, tear ducts, and nerve endings.
So you want to take his face and mine?
Borrow. The procedure's completely reversible.
I'm going to be John Travolta now. Fegan, excuse me? Nicolas Cage is still alive? You told me he was dead. I put the cased closed file away. The whole office saw me do it. You made me look like a big ninny.
Like a freaking chump. And you now, watched me close the case.
Now you're telling me he's still alive? I am furious. How dare you lie to me? But you know what? FBI, no one knows. I get it.
Yeah, so he's been...
Even you don't know, you don't know, I don't know that he's alive. So I get it. Black government. I get it.
I get how it works. They're keeping Nicolas Cage alive on life support because they've been like, you know, this idea has been stewing and now is the opportunity, right?
Yeah, they were really, really pushing hard. When do we tell him? Okay, let's just go to Chili's one more time. Let's talk it out. Let's get a couple margaritas. Let's just figure it out. And because we're going to have to delicately present this to him because it's kind of a wild idea.
Like, you guys, we let him close the case. Like, we all watched.
He's going to be real mad. He loves closing those cases.
He loves it.
Not only that, he told his cute old doctor wife that it's closed, it's over, and now he's gonna go have to explain that to her. It's gonna be a big hoo-ha.
So they're like, listen, we get that this is a lot, but you need to just go home, sleep on it, think it over, let me know what you think. So he goes home, he talks to his wife, he said, like, listen, I know I told you that I was going to get a boring desk job, but I'm being asked to do something else. I can't tell you what it is. I can't tell you how long I'll be gone. I can't tell you where I'm going. You just have to trust me on this. And she's like, okay, yeah, that sounds
well, you reasonable. Also kind of learn that she's like a little bit cold. Like it sounds like they haven't bumped uglies in a while because it's just kind of like, you
she
know.
She tries to put the moves on him because she's like, finally, the case is closed, but my legs aren't.
My legs are wide open. I just gave a brain surgery today and I'm ready to go. Yeah, always so gets me like, riled up because I'm a doctor, remember? She's in her full turtleneck and lab coat still because she doesn't take off her clothes. And he's like, no, I can't tonight. I've got other things on my mind if I want to switch my face with a criminal. I've got a lot on my mind right now. The doctors told me they want to slap my enemy's face on my face. It's a big thing. Let me just think it over.
I am feeling very overwhelmed right now. So she's like, I thought we were finally going to be able to consummate this case being closed, but I guess we're going to go back into emotional distance, whatever. So he goes in the next day. He finds this, you know, a ride to the secret lab. He doesn't know how to get there, so he has to ask for directions. And he gets there and so there's a team of four people, okay? And that's the catch, is that only these four people in the entire world know that this plan is happening. And they're like, that is the risk that you are taking, is that not even the prison guards are going to know, none of the other prisoners, no police officers, nothing. This is it. Whoever's in this room are the only people who know, and that's important that they're emphasizing that. So he's sitting there kind of thinking it over with his partner, and he's like, listen, I know this sounds crazy, but if this doctor can do half of what he says he can do, this just might work.
No, and I'm like, no, bitch, he needs to be able to make sure it's 100. He needs to do all of it, like, not just half of it.
Brother, I don't think you can get away with half.
His human soul, brother. Yeah, like, it's only like half his face. It's like kind of droopy and doesn't really work. Like, no, doctor, it has to fully work.
This is one of those times where it's all or nothing.
Like, yeah, this is a big decision, buddy. You're getting your enemy's face slabbed onto your face. Regardless, let's fast forward. He decides to do it, okay?
Yeah, he's just like, essentially like, I can't believe you're asking me to do this, but I will do it. But he takes the doctor aside and he's like, listen, do you see this scar I have on my chest? After this is all said and done, can you put this back? Because it's kind of like a symbol. And I just feel like maybe he doesn't know what a symbol is.
It's a symbol of when your son got shot in the head and you got shot like a by metaphor. Nicolas Cage.
Like, he actually got shot, so it's not a figurative thing, it's an actual physical reminder, but whatever.
So then we go into this scene of how the whole thing is done, you guys, and imagine a toilet plunger just sucking a face skin off. and then putting it in a face rejuvenation gel juice. And there's the best part, though, like Caden said, out of these four people, two of them are hairdressers because they are just like cutting his hair while his face is actively being sucked off. They're like, hey, girl. What are you going for today? Oh, this is going to be so good. And they're like dyeing it.
So cute. Cutting it. Do some bangs.
All the little baby cuts are getting in his little facial muscles like, before they put the face on.
I kept thinking about, because like I do hair and they're cutting dry hair. So cutting dry hair, like the amount of
while you're
of
getting your face
baby,
sucked off?
Ugh. Yes. Like just landing on your raw, bloody, exposed face is so gross. And it's like, if you guys are freaking geniuses and you can only think to do a haircut at the exact same time,
wait till
that you're sucking
do it in the recovery room. Do it in the damn recovery room. Which brings us to
before
our next
after,
topic.
Before after, just not during.
Which brings us to the next topic. The surgery is a success, let's say that. It's like maybe a day later, and John Travolta, who is now Nicolas Cage, full Nicolas Cage, actually the actor Nicolas Cage, because that's how it works. No scarring, nothing. We have a lot of questions. We'll get into it later. Let's just roll with it now. He wakes up as Nicolas Cage, and he freaks the fuck out that when he looks in the mirror, because he's now his arch nemesis who killed his son, freaking out, going crazy.
John Archer.
Also, did the special agents not think that like maybe a little therapy would be in order before
Katie,
this happens?
This has to happen quick. There's a bomb. They need to go. But my favorite part, the one takeaway from this, and we will get into this many times later, is that there is absolutely no scarring. There's no blood.
Because they have lasers.
Physically changed so many things, and we'll get into it in a minute because I will go on a tangent for hours. But let's just say he wakes up Nicolas Cage.
So you might also be wondering if the voice will be a dead giveaway. Don't worry. They thought of that. They have a voice matching machine and they put a little tiny chip in his throat and they adjust it until it says voice matching percentage 100%.
Oh, great.
So
oh, great.
He's good to go, you guys. He's good to go.
I've got a lot of questions coming, but let's just get through this.
As the agent tells him, the clock's ticking and so's the bomb. So he's got to get to work.
Got to get to work. Get to that prison. Get in there. Find your brother. Get the plans. Let's go.
So here's the tricky part. He has to go to prison, and it's a facility akin to the Shark Island from Deep Blue Sea.
Yeah.
No one knows it exists. It's in the
high
middle of the
security.
Ocean.
It's all filled with just random terrorist awful people.
It's very illegal. No one, like, it's completely unconstitutional. It's out in waters, so, like, nobody knows its location. Everybody's over the ocean, right? So if you escape, like, you're not ever going to get out.
Alcatraz
kind of like
situation.
Alcatraz except for situation. It's man-made. And speaking of Deep Blue Sea, our friend Tom Jane, who plays Carter Blake, is also in this prison.
Oh, he's probably in the prison from what he did to all those sharks. Just he blew up that facility and ended up going to prison.
So he goes to the prison in order to get the information, as we said, from his brother Pollux. But his brother's like, I'm not 100% sure that you're really my brother.
You guys, this was like literally 2 days later. No scarring, nothing. He goes to this prison to talk to Pollux, and Pollux is like, Pollux is the only one in this fucking movie, even though he's a little bit cray cray, he's the only one that questions like all the questions that we have. Like, you guys, body type, mannerisms, the way people speak, eye color, everything. It doesn't, like, even if I, okay, let's use an example. Cadence, if you and I switched faces, if someone suction cupped your face off and slabbed it onto my face, our faces are completely different structures. Right. Like, we have different noses, different jawbones, right. Different foreheads, different skull shapes, not to mention the body. All they did was make a dig at his love handles and said that they were going to get rid of that. His height is different.
But they say that they try to wiggle out of that one by going, the height differential's negligible.
Like, this is my brother. I'm
my brother. I spent a lot of time with him. He showed me how he made the evil plans. He helped me make the evil plans. He saw me with my dragon money clip. He knows who I am. How on earth do they think John Travolta is going to trick his brother is beyond me. Like, I would 99% be sure, Cadence, that if I saw your face slabbed on somebody else that, like, came to me and was like, hey, Colin, do you know something about the plans?
I'd be like, I kind of think of, like, Mike Myers from the Halloween movie. Right? Like, that's
Leatherface. I think the Leatherface from that Texas Chainsaw. That's you. You're kind of drooping. It's bloody. And you're like, hey, Colin, I got some
questions. Hey, brother.
Do you know where we stashed those files? And I'm like, well, she's got the same face, so better tell her everything.
Her
body doesn't look at all the same, but she's my sister, so
that's definitely her general face shape.
That's definitely human face skin on her, and she's saying she's my sister, so better divulge everything. Like, there are so many questions. I cannot
even. Even the way people, like, they're, the way they speak, like, their cadences or their sense of humor.
Their movements.
Like,
you guys, these are sworn enemies, which means I'm sure they don't spend a lot of time together.
Exactly. How much time have they been in the same room?
They have no idea how they talk, no idea anything about each other's families. But just because you switch faces, you automatically know everything about that person. So this is for sure going to work. Yeah.
They're banking on the fact that John Travolta has been studying those case files for 6 years. And they're like, well, I mean, he knows all the facts. So that's going to play as totally normal.
And then John Travolta's like, pause, time out. I've never been to a high security madman prison in the middle of the ocean, okay? I have no idea how to act in these criminals. And I would like to point out that the first scene when he's in the prison to get the brother, he gets in a fight and they are punching his face. His face skin hasn't even got attached yet. It would just slide off.
Get punched and just fly across the room, like a
yes, and like he's like, oh, sure, I got some explaining to do. And I'm also thinking, like, to myself,
immediately the movie ends, face comes off,
and then it just like
that didn't work.
It's like a piece of ham that slams against the wall and then slowly slides down, and then it's all face off. Didn't work. I'm also thinking another thing, okay. Cadence, if you came in with your Michael Myers mask face that you got from somebody else, I would also be like, hey, bro, your teeth look exactly the same as somebody else's teeth. They're not even your teeth.
I spent 27 years staring at your mouth, and it looks a little different.
And you know what? It sounds like your voice is computer generated.
Hey, that voice matching software said 100%.
It said 100%. What are you talking about, Colin? It is me, your sister, Cadence. Oh, it's so fucking stupid. And no scarring. He goes immediately into the fucking guards. He's getting beat up left and right. His face isn't falling off. He's trying to get Pollux. But like I said, Pollux is the only one in this fucking movie who has a slight suspicion. And us as viewers, we're just, I'm riddled with questions at this point. I'm yelling at the TV. Again, hairline, hair color, anyway, let's move on.
You might be wondering, so let's just leave that there. Like, Pollux is like, I'm not 100% sure that you're my brother.
But he's still thinking, well, he has my brother's face, so... Just tiny hinkering, so he's not fully there yet.
He's
but
mulling it over. He's mulling it over. So let's leave the prison. He's mulling it over. Because you might be asking yourself, well, like, if they took off Nicolas Cage's face, what's happening with him? You guys, his face is just, he's wrapped in gauze. He's faceless. They threw a little gauze over his head and face, and they're like, don't worry about him. He's on life support. He's never going to know.
You know what? I'm no doctor, but I watched a lot of ER in my day. And you know what? I think that's how that works. You rip off someone's face, you put a gauze over it, and you're like, he'll be fine.
He'll be fine.
But you know what? Nicolas Cage, he is not fine. He is a derailed criminal terrorist. He wakes up in this... Okay, this is where the best part is. He wakes up in this hospital. He just casually.
Secret facility at night.
Secret facility. He just.
Not a nurse, not a doctor.
Not a doctor in sight, you guys. It's a completely empty hospital.
It's a 9-to-5 secret.
And we're watching this like, where the fuck is the staff? This is a secret facility with a mad terrorist. They're like, eh, he's fine. His face is off. He won't know what to do. You know? And then this is one of the most ridiculous parts of the movie because Nicolas Cage spontaneously wakes up from this coma in the middle of the night. Again, no night nurses, no staff, no security.
Not a person.
You know, people got to go. They're all at Chili's. They're all at the Chili's happy hour. They're like cheersing.
They're all high-fiving. We did it.
Hopefully he stays through the sleep, through the night. Hopefully nothing bad happens. Oh, Carol, nothing will happen. Flashback to the empty hospital. Nicolas Cage gets up. He just casually takes off his gauze and he's like, holy shit, I don't have a face. And keep in mind, he's not in death pain right now because your face skin is off. You peeled gauze off of your exposed face muscles. Mm-hmm. So the first thing he does is...
He touches his face, which grosses me out because the nerve ending's like exposed like that. Could you imagine?
Well, they just really want to drill it in that he doesn't have a face on.
They're like, hey, did you realize he doesn't have a face?
In case the audience didn't know, we're going to show a bloody finger if it touches his face. So then he goes and he decides to sit down in a chair without a face skin, light up a little cigarette. Figure out what this whole plan is because the doctors just left all their files open.
Oh, yeah, 100%. Didn't close any of those.
John
cases,
Travolta
if you know
going
what I mean.
To prison as Nicolas Cage to get information from brother. No, nothing closed. So here you have Nicolas Cage faceless, smoking a cigarette in a chair, learning all this stuff. And I'm sitting there like, this is the most ridiculous thing I've ever seen. But guess what Nicolas Cage does? He gets his little henchman to hunt down
the
doctors.
Yeah, he calls his friend, like one of his henchmen, and he's wailing into the phone. And he's like,
Lars, it's me. Believe it. Someone, they took, switched my, for some fucking... But it's cool. We're gonna deal with it. Oh yes, we're gonna deal with it.
I had a lot more questions. Even if I was an international madman terrorist, I'd have a lot of questions if I woke up without a face. But
oh yeah, I would not be like, oh man, being an international terrorist gets you in some real tight spots.
This is a first for me. I'd be railing around the hospital looking for morphine because I'd be in dire pain and nobody's there. So whatever.
Well, he does find it because by the time his henchman gets there, he is kidnapped the special doctor. The doctor, they took him right from the Chili's. They bring him back to the facility, and the doctor's just like,
what do you want?
And Nicolas Cage is like,
take one goddamn guess.
And he's like, by the way, I found your pain pills. And so he's like shaking the Vicodin like a rattle, and he's smoking in one hand, and he's like, I'll give you one guess. Pan over to John Travolta's face sitting in the goo jar.
He's like, I had a lot of time to sit and smoke without any lips, by the way, because it's just exposed muscle at this point. And I see what you guys are doing. I put the pieces together. I need you to put John Travolta's face on my face now. And this is where the doctor's like, okay.
Yeah.
The doctor is in a secret facility, knows there's a bomb, knows the plans. He's working with the FBI and he's like, okay, I guess I have to do it.
I mean, he's held at gunpoint, so he feels like if he does it, he's going to get out of there scot-free.
But that's
which
what
he
I mean.
Should know
but
at that
what I
point.
Mean. I would be like, sacrifice yourself, doctor, for a bigger cause. Or if I, you know, if I was the doctor, I would just botch the whole situation. I'd be like, okay, well, lay back. I'm going to put you under anesthesia and then just give him a fucking horse face.
Or just like overdose
skin a cat
him
face somewhere and just get a little face. Oh yeah, overdose. Yeah, there's so many ways.
You were going real complicated with cat face.
I was like, go get a spare stray cat, take off that cat's face, put it on him, and be like, gotcha. Look who's silly now. But you made a good point. Why don't you just okay? Well, I have to put you under for the surgery because it's gonna be really painful, and then just give him a shit ton of anesthesia and kill him. There's so many questions. The doctor does not have to fulfill his orders. It's an empty hospital. He got dragged out of Chili's. Now he's got to put this face on of this FBI agent on this criminal. Right. And he decides, you know what? I'm going to do it all in one night. I don't have my hairstylist here. I don't have my
clippers. Who's going to give the haircut? That's actually a really good point, because there was a whole team before.
There was a whole beauty team before, and this doctor's like, ugh, this is going to be a long night. Get me a cup of coffee.
His hair's a mess.
It's so ridiculously stupid.
So he completes the surgery, and meanwhile, the henchmen go round up the only other three people who know about this, and this is what's important. They have all four people, the only people on all of God's green earth that know about this secret mission. They tie them up together after the surgery is complete, douse them in gasoline, and light them on fire. Ooh, and the whole facility goes up in flames.
I got some questions for the FBI. They need to really get better tabs on these plans. Like, they need to leave just a carbon copy of a paper somewhere and just be like, by the way, if something goes wrong, it's in the closed case file. They're like, please open the closed case file and realize it's not closed. Please. Or they should put a piece of paper in like the semi-closed case file, the just in case file. We're all here.
Like, if you think a case is closed, but like it may not 100% be closed. Open it up
and then you'll see what's happening and you will be the fifth person to know what's going on.
We've got John Travolta as Nicolas Cage in the prison trying to convince Paul Ox with his melting face that he's definitely his brother. No big deal.
I promise I'm your brother. Paul Ox is still on the fence somehow.
He's like, okay, let me think about it. So anyway, long story short, John Travolta as Nicolas Cage is led to a private room in the prison. And all of a sudden, he has a special visitor come in that door. And Nicolas Cage with John Travolta's face.
Again, like, no recovery time, no scarring, exactly the same. So many questions as how long this process took. And I'm just thinking to myself, how did Nicolas Cage even know where this top security prison was? How did he even know to dress as John Travolta and go to this prison?
Hi, he has John Travolta's face. He can go open all the closed files.
Oh, I forgot. You're right. Everyone thinks he's John Travolta now, which again brings up a lot of questions.
Do you wanna just go look at all these files? You want to just check it out?
Can you guys show me where the secret security place is with his face melted? They're like, again, his coworkers.
Sure, let us lead you there.
Sure does look like John Travolta. And but I would think also that people would be like, oh, well, they don't know. Only four people knew about the face transplant. So they don't know. I don't know.
Exactly.
So they're like, yeah, here it is. Go there.
Maybe he asked before he burned them alive. Maybe he was like, hey, do you want to tell me where that prison is so I can get my brother out? That's probably what happened.
Yeah.
And then he burned him up. So
they're screaming it when they're burning. It's at 445 Dark Island Scientist Road. 2 miles ride. Use MapQuest. It's
just a bunch of shipping containers stacked on top of each other.
Why am I telling you this as I'm burning? Anyway.
So he shows up and he's like,
nothing like having your face cut off to disturb your sleep. Read the newspaper lately?
And he puts it in his face and guess what? It says that all the people were burned up in a secret facility on the front page.
Four people that knew about a top secret mission at a secret lab caught on fire. Who's the reporter reporting this? They need to get a Nobel Peace Prize. They were on the case. They're like, you know what? They're outside the window writing it down. Looks like some secret stuff is going on here. It looks like four really important people that only know one thing.
Within 24 hours.
Seems like there's a lot of different faces floating around. Face skins floating around in these tubes.
Literally floating around.
And then he has time to go run to the Washington Post, get this printed stat. I need it to be in fake John Travolta's face as soon as he can so he can show himself as Nicolas Cage. Get it there.
This isn't a really essential plot point. Make it the front page headline.
The editor's like, crap, I was going to go on holiday with my family. Now I got to write this article really quick.
And there's like a picture of all of the secret agents. I'm like, nobody did a good job at keeping this a secret.
Yeah, maybe you shouldn't have given away their names and their photos and where they live and their families. Oh, so dumb. But needless to say, John Travolta as Nicolas Cage is blown away and he is pissed. He is pissed.
And so basically what happens is he's like, Nicolas Cage's John Travolta is like, oh, enjoy the rest of your life in this secret prison because I'm getting my brother out and nobody knows you're here. Bye. Have a good life. So he walks out with Pollux, his brother.
And John Travolta.
Now Pollux is going to be a, quote, state's witness. But he knows that his brother has John Travolta's face now.
Oh, yeah.
And Nicolas Cage as John Travolta, he's like, oh, I thought that guy was sleeping in a coma. How did all this happen? Shit. He's got so many questions. He's like, what did the doctors do? Why did they not stop this? Four people knew about this. Not one of them stopped it. Like, last they told me he was going to be late.
Everybody reassured me that this was going to be okay.
He goes back and looks in the mirror and writes in his journal. He's like, I knew something was up. I knew this wasn't a good idea. Now, like, I'm stuck in a top secret facility. And now my arch nemesis has my face. He got his brother out.
Dear diary.
He just becomes full prison bitch. He's like the next day, like selling cigarettes for sex. He just goes full. Anyway, I digress. So we're going to leave it there. Let's just say that now John Travolta as Nicolas Cage is stuck in this prison and he is pissed.
He knows he has to get out, right? Because now he knows that Pollux and Nicolas Cage as John Travolta are conspiring to take over the FBI as criminals and terrorists, and nobody knows. And he has to, he also has to spend the rest of his life in a secret prison.
Oh, yeah.
So he's got to get out of there. A, to be a hero, and B, just to get his life back.
He's still got to stop that damn bomb.
Yeah, and the bomb. Oh, my gosh. Yeah, the bomb is ticking away. And also, here's just a quick side note. They did try asking one of Nicolas Cage's terrorist friends, like they brought him into questioning to get more information about the bomb, and he does that classic thing that we've joked about so many times. They're like, what do you know?
I don't know anything.
And he's like, I don't know a damn thing. I do know they said something about the 18th, though.
I'm going to ask you one more time. What do you know? Okay. There's a secret laboratory over here where this guy made this bomb. He said he was going to plant it in this place on the 18th. You can find it at his sister's house on 20th Cherry Grove, and gives the full information away. So now they've got a hinkering.
Yeah, it cracked me up.
Now one FBI agent kind of is getting things done. All right. This brings us to the next part of the movie. Nicolas Cage, John Travolta's Nicolas Cage is screwed. He's got to go write in his journal. He's got some meditating to do. He's got to figure out how to get out of the damn prison. Meanwhile, now
he's gotta figure out how to open that case.
You gotta get to that case file. So meanwhile, this is where the movie gets, this is where we, I get furious, okay?
It gets weird and existential and so many questions about
everything. It's offensive soul, in all senses.
The human soul.
There's a lot of deep questions brought up. So now we have crazy pants Nicolas Cage, now as John Travolta, who's a head FBI agent. He's living his life now. He goes, he knows where he lives. He goes home. He talks to his wife. He talks to his daughter. But this is what he does, because he doesn't know that John Travolta had an older daughter. He goes in, he's hitting, okay, keep in mind, this daughter thinks that this man is her dad, which again, right, a lot of questions. He goes in her room, he's like hitting on his daughter, pulls out a cigarette, he's smoking, he's blowing smoke rings in her face and listening to rock and roll.
Forget that he says to himself, oh, the plot thickens.
You're not respecting my boundaries.
I'm coming in, Janie.
Janie?
I don't think you heard me, Jamie. You've got something that I crave. Papa's got a brand
new bag. Okay, couple questions. And then when he does this, the daughter literally has this attitude of like, oh, dad's kind of cool now. But then he's just like, oh, well, let's smoke and I'm listening to music and I'm cool. Papa's got a new bag. And as he walks away, that's when she's like, oh, dad, you're kind of cool. And that's where I have a lot of problems, bitch. If my dad came home as a different fucking human being
and was watching me in my underwear,
seductively hitting on me, blowing smoke rings in my face, and he's never smoked a day in his life, listening to rock and roll.
You're like, are you having a stroke?
I would have so many questions. I'd be like, Dad, what do you do at night? How's your relationship with Mom? How's your mental state? I didn't know you smoked. Where do you know? You never smelled smoke before.
How do you, grief counselor?
How do you know how to blow a smoke ring in my face? This is like, I would have so many questions. I wouldn't just be like, oh, Dad, you're cool. I like how you hit on me. That is disgusting. That was disgusting. I'm sorry.
You hit on me. That was real cool.
And I would also like to mention that doctor was under a lot of duress. I don't think he was able to put that voice chip in him, so he still sounds like Nicolas Cage. And then again, the biggest thing, you guys, is the teeth. They have entirely different sets of teeth. And I'd be like, hey, you know, Dad, you're acting completely bizarre. Different set of teeth, different mannerisms. You're hitting on me smoking.
Forget that they put dentures in. But you're forgetting all the details.
But you know what?
you do have my dad's face, so you know what? I'm gonna let this slide. You do have like, my dad's face
like
glued
that
onto
face
your face,
is sliding off of yours.
You do. You're not to mention your whole skull shape is different and your human soul is different, but you know, you do have my dad's face. So, needless
he
to say,
he also tries to pick up the wife, right?
So, cause, oh yeah, he's being so seductive
so
with the wife.
He sees her in all of her layered glory. And he's like, oh, hey. And he starts, like, grabbing on her and stuff. And she's like, what are you doing? Like, are you trying to have sex with me in the front yard? I got to get to work. I am a doctor.
What are you
I don't
doing,
know
John
if we
Travolta?
Covered this yet.
How are you 3 inches taller, a little bit skinnier? How do you have a different voice and teeth and mouth and face and all these scars? And who gave you this haircut? Oh, what's going on? No, I'm telling you, if I, Cadence, I'm telling you, if your husband, Jed, walked in the door right now, and it wasn't Jed, it was just someone that Jed's face slapped on their face, I am 99.99% sure you'd be like, that doesn't feel right. This doesn't, you know, like every part of someone's body, you know, like moles, shoulders, arms, fingernails, like you, we're not idiots. And like, everybody's just like, oh, well, he's got John Travolta's face. So
I've spent 17 years with Jed, right? So it's like, I know literally everything. And one of my most proud things in life is that I taught Jed how to kiss. So I know that if someone else kissed me and I'd be like, that's not what I taught you.
Also, your lips are kind of a different shape and falling off. It's kind of strange.
It feels different.
And I'm feeling your body. And you know what? Things don't feel right. But they haven't had sex yet because she's kind of cold and she's a doctor and she's really busy. But he is
and
trying to lay the moves.
And they've been emotionally distant for the last 6 years.
But he's trying to put on the moves really bad. And then
and
he
she's
goes,
like, hey, I thought you were going undercover and you couldn't tell me where. And he's like, oh, yeah, no, that's totally taken care of. No worries. We're good to go. Don't sweat it.
I mean, I would be like, hey, is everything okay? Should we go to therapy? How's your mental
like,
state?
You are you literally crying at the bedside saying, like, I have to disappear and I'm not going to tell you where I'm going to be.
And now
and
you
now
show
you're
up.
Here.
Now you show up. You're smoking, you're hitting on our daughter, you're dancing to rock and roll, you're acting erratic, you're grabbing my butt, you're an entirely different human soul, but you know what? You got my husband's face. So then, so besides infiltrating John Travolta's family, then he goes to John Travolta's work. And this is where we have more questions. How do you know how to do John Travolta's job? He walks in, he's like, everybody's like...
I keep reminding you, he has access to all the files.
I just picture him like... at work, like typing away to keyboard, the boss comes in. Hey, John Travolta, what you working on? Government stuff, FBI stuff.
Being a really good FBI agent.
Let me ask you a question. Do you know anything about a bomb? Like, and so, everybody in the okay, not only does your wife and your child not realize something's different, everybody at the office is like, you know, this guy's acting insane, but he's got John Travolta's face. So,
well, this actually comes up a little bit later. We're not there quite yet, but there are some moments where everyone's like, huh, this seems different, and everyone just rolls with it. But the
nobody
first thing-
at bats tonight, nobody's like, hey, take a couple days off. You seem a little stressed. You seem a little stressed out. I know you thought you closed that case file a while ago, and I know how much that upset you, but go take some time off. But again, the point of that is that nobody bats an eye. And again, we're just thinking in 2021, like, this is the most ridiculous thing because your entire human soul does not change because you have someone else's face. Like, it's bizarre.
You're not infused with their essence.
And not infused with their essence, their mannerisms, their everything. You do not know how to, like, wear their clothes and go work at their job. He's like filing HR papers, just like living the dream. No one bats an eye.
I guess when you are obsessed with someone for 6 years, like, you know, it's part of you.
Yeah.
It comes naturally because you've been watching them for so long.
I would be like, okay, hey, you're a little bit taller today and you're a little bit slenderer and your face shape is different, but...
Got rid of those love handles.
Got rid of those love handles and...
That was also just like a rude dig by the doctor, by the way. That was completely unnecessary. All he had to do was be like, we're changing your entire body, top to bottom.
But they don't really change it. That they only emphasize that they're making him slenderer to look like him. But again, they're not changing his
Colin,
hands.
Colin, the height is negligible.
They're not changing hands. They're not changing body shape. They literally are the only part of the body they're changing is making him skinnier. Anyway, so many questions. I hate it.
So he's at work, right? And speaking of not being himself, he is talking to his boss and he's like, this is Nicolas Cage's John Travolta talking to the head of the FBI. He's like, I would like to talk to Pollux Troy, please. I think we can cut a deal. And the head of the FBI is like,
you made a deal with Pollux Troy. That doesn't like you.
Well, he's the brother of the enemy that shot your son, your sworn enemy. You're going to strike a deal with him? Sounds suspicious, but you got John Travolta's face, so go right ahead.
So I guess we're good to go.
So go right ahead, go get him out.
I mean, the writers were really on the nose with this one because they were like, you know, this deal just isn't like you. And, you know, he's like, me, 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 if only you knew. It wasn't me. So he
with
goes
a still
into
drooping skin. What are you talking about? My wounds haven't healed, but it's me.
It's totally me.
I'm John Travolta.
I make deals with terrorists all the time. So he goes into the room with Pollux Troy, his brother. And his brother's like,
seeing that face on you makes me afraid my tiramisu might come back up.
Well, think about me. This nose, this hair, this ridiculous chin. Brother, we're going straight.
Oh, my goodness. Did you exchange brains as well?
The first thing I need you to confess to is the location of the bomb.
What about our $10 million?
What about when I become an American hero for defusing the bomb? What's that worth? Know that. Thank you. Next question.
It is the weirdest response.
And then his brother goes like this. Oh, did they change your brain too? Oh, did they change your brain too along with that face? Huh? Did they? Real big dig at him, huh?
Long story short, yes, I guess. So he gets, you know, it's all staged because at this point, Pollux knows that his brother has John Travolta's face glued on. So they decide that they're going to come up with this mastermind plan where he's going to give him the information. He's going to defuse the bomb. He's going to become a national hero and he's going to be able to have all of this power. And he's like, how, you know, this is going to be worth infinitely more than what we're doing. And I'm like, I don't want to be the one to tell you this, but I really think being an international terrorist is far more lucrative than a job at the FBI.
Do you realize you're going to have to be filing some paperwork for the rest of your life? He does. He thinks it's going to make him so much money. I'm like, you've been to his house. You saw him and his wife there.
He's like,
you saw his presidential library. You know he's not making a ton of money. So are you sure? Like, you gave a guy
terrorist.
A gold. You gave a guy a gold dragon money clip filled with money, and you were getting away on a private plane.
And a private jet. And you have this guy's got like a 3-bedroom, 2-bath house in the suburbs with a presidential library in the corner.
He thinks that because he defuses the bomb, everyone just sends him money and he's king now. Well, he's a criminal terrorist. He's not very smart. He doesn't know. He doesn't know. But that's his plan.
All right. So he, you know, makes the quote deal that he's going to get Pollux to tell him the location of the bomb. He goes and defuses it. He does an interview on television. He's very excited about being a hero. He comes back to the office after having defused the bomb, and his whole office is clapping for him. Flashback to the first scene where he comes in and everyone's clapping. Except, you guys, this time, he doesn't have to try to remember Pincus's name, and he doesn't have to try to be like, hey, let's not clap because this was really dangerous. Instead, he's like, bring it on, guys. I am a hero. Clap. Clap for me. And then one of his workers goes, hey, this seems different. Did your surgery go okay? And he has a moment of like, what? What surgery? What surgery? I don't know. This is not lighting up.
Are there scars on my face and on my different body?
And she says,
well, was the stick successfully removed from your ass?
And they're all clapping and cheering and having champagne. And he's loving it. He's gone from being like a humble, modest leader and hero to just like gobbling up the
attention. But you know what? It's got the same face as John Travolta. That's so
seems the same.
Seems the same.
Seems the same. So, oh, and he grabs his secretary's ass, by the way. Okay,
but you know what?
Which
got John Travolta's face. So
which, ha ha.
Again, nobody asks any mental health questions. Are you on medication? Did something change? They all just roll with it.
You're assaulting everyone at the office, but okay.
Things are weird. So this is where one of my favorite parts is, because now we're going to meet John Travolta's Nicolas Cage back in the prison. He's just trying to figure out a way to get out. He's got all these crazies around him. He's fighting. And the prison, even though it's in the middle of nowhere, they have a giant big screen TV where they they cast the
like a movie screen size TV
where all the prisoners are just walking in a circle with these boots on that keep them from running away.
They're magnetized
and
boots.
There's this giant screen, and guess what? That's what they decide. The guards are like, you know what I'm gonna put on the screen today? The news. Let's see what happened in the news.
Let's watch that 6 o'clock.
And as soon as they turn on that big old screen TV, guess what it is? It's Nicolas Cage as John Travolta playing the hero. He gets very Jim Carrey.
Yep.
And he's like, hey, I want to, that part where he's like, the guy's listening, I want to tell him, game's on, ball's on our court. He's really crazy.
He gets now our side's got the ball. Sorry.
Sorry. And I'm like, oh, Jim Carrey's you make an appearance?
This is turned into Nicolas Cage as John Travolta as Jim Carrey. It's just real hard Russian to explain. Nesting doll situation.
Needless to say, the news was on at the just the right time on the big screen in this madman facility. And John Travolta's Nicolas Cage sees, we're going to make it real easy. He causes a riot. He gets out of the building.
At that point, he's like, well, shit. Now he's got my job. He's got my wife. He's like becoming
nobody
a
knows
hero.
I'm here. I'm stuck here forever. How the fuck do I get out? I know how I'm going to cause this ridiculous riot. That's ridiculous on a whole other level, but for the sake of brevity, we're just going to say he gets out. He gets out of that prison. Don't ask questions, you guys. It's ridiculous, but
jumps
chaos,
20 stories into
jumps
the ocean.
20,000 stories into the ocean. We all know how that goes. And let's just assume he's a badass. He's going after his nemesis, which is wearing his face now. So let's just leave it there. Meanwhile,
somehow he gets on land. That's all you need to know.
Meanwhile, we've got Nicolas Cage as John Travolta trying to seduce the shit out of John Travolta's wife.
Eve, the doctor. She's a doctor. I don't know if you know this, but she's a doctor. He's laid out quite the array of food, too. It's like there's a shit ton of candles. Every square inch of the presidential library is covered in candles.
With the U.S. flag in the background.
But then there's also like this massive platter of spaghetti. There's also a massive platter of lobster.
I love spaghetti for sexy night. No, everyone loves eating sloppy spaghetti for sex.
Well, spaghetti and lobster together are ideal pairing.
The best. Eve's like, yay, good.
And she's sort of like, are these candles supposed to change my mind? And he's like, no, but rubbing your pantyhose just might change your mind.
These are sensible leggings. I'm a doctor. These are not pantyhose. I gotta keep my legs warm in the emergency room. Guess we're all cold.
I gotta keep the circulation moving. Okay, they're compression hose. Thank you very much. And he starts kissing her, which, again, we've covered this. Like, you would be 100% like, my tongue in this mouth is not familiar at all. But it's been a long time since Eve has had her pantyhose rubbed, you know, so I guess she just does not care at this point.
This human soul seems to have my husband's melting face stuck to it, so I'm not asking any questions. Not to mention we had two children together, but I am not questioning anything about this guy's mannerisms, his voice, his actions.
I mean, it's been
actions.
A long time since they've been intimate, so maybe she's like, oh, he learned some tricks in the last 6 years.
Let's bring that to the next thing. I'm 99% sure I'd be like, that's not your dick. That's not the same dick I used to.
The difference in dick length is negligible, Colin.
She's like, wow, your dick looks entirely different. You're uncircumcised. And he's like, well, he's like, I've got your husband's face.
I grew my foreskin back. I don't know if you know this, but if you don't use your dick, it comes back.
Yeah, and something's changed down there. But look, I've got your husband's face. So fucking stupid. So stupid. So and again, stupid. Keep in mind that if they even lasered your face on, there are scars. That's the funny thing. It's just there is not a scar in sight. Everybody healed in two days. Nothing. No time to have the skin graft to the face.
Oh,
nothing.
And he puts, and the surgeon goes the extra mile by putting the scar on his chest.
It's ridiculous. Okay, so anyway.
Anyway,
I'd be like, hey, your body hair is completely different and your nipples look weird, but
he seduces
but you don't want
her.
You don't have those love handles.
She's like, you know what? Everything else is different, but you don't have those love handles.
Because
so I'll
I'm pretty
it.
Sure the doctor took away John Travolta's love handles, but did he add love handles to Nicolas Cage?
Oh, true.
So she's
true.
Like, oh, you lost a few pounds. Your penis is different. Your whole soul is different. You kiss different. You're acting completely bizarre, but you got my husband's face plastered onto your
and
face. So no questions.
She needs to get laid. So he seduces her and they get busy. And
she's wearing a turtleneck and her lab coat the whole time.
The entire time. And her pantyhose. Like, she just cuts a little hole in her pantyhose.
She's just like, okay, go, quick.
All right. So Nicolas Cage's John Travolta goes back to work where the office is chitter-chattering because they're like, hey, I don't know if you heard this, but the bad guy has died. He tried to escape prison. He jumped into the ocean. And Nicolas Cage's John Travolta is like, where's the body? Show me the body. And they're like, there is none, but trust us. There's no way he survived. And he's like, if there's not a body, he's already here.
Show me the closed case file. As soon as you show me that, oh no, the case is really closed. They come out with a case file. It just says body dead. He's like, okay, I trust you. I'm going
You're
home.
Right. It says okay. Closed. Okay.
Because, you know, he's chummy with everybody at work now because he's not an entirely different person and no one questions anything.
Yeah, he doesn't
anything.
Have stick possess anymore.
You know, so he knows he's just, like, asking all the right questions. Ugh, it's so stupid.
Yeah, so he knows at this point that he's got a whole nother rigmarole of fighting his arch enemy again.
I'm
and they're
tired.
Going.
I'd be tired. My body would be tired. It's recovering from a pretty intense operation. My body would be like, hey, do you have some Advil? But they're just
no. I actually have to face off with my enemy again.
I have to again face off with my enemy for like the 10th time in this movie while we have each other's faces.
He's Nicolas Cage as John Travolta is back at John Travolta's house and he's on the phone with his brother Pollux and he's going over the plan again. He's like, listen, I'm going to be the head of the FBI soon. It's going to result in big money. And right at that moment, he looks outside and Jamie, the daughter, is outside getting assaulted by her boyfriend and he saves her. So he has this brief moment, bad guy as John Travolta has this brief moment of like kindness. But then as soon as he talks to her about like avoiding assault, he's like,
dress up like Halloween and ghouls will try to get in your pants.
Good line. Good line, Dad. Sounds just like you.
So anyway, just plowing through
that. Hey, Dad,
that.
Speaking
just...
of, you're looking kind of like a ghoul because it looks like your body's rotting off. You're looking like a fucking Frankenstein, Dad.
Dad,
you have someone's completely other body and you're taller and your face is falling off and your eyes
are
drooping.
You are a literal monster.
And your eyebrows are different and you don't have those scars that you had on your face. Yeah, anyway, regardless.
I think they're being like, don't look at his face too closely. He's doing something nice. It's just a distraction.
Hey, Dad, you know what? Your entire complexion changed. so strange. Anyway, keep going.
And we have John Travolta as Nicolas Cage, who has now made it back to land, and he tries to call his wife at the hospital because he knows that he can't show up and see her face to face because he looks totally different. So he tries to call her. He's like, listen, Eve, carefully pay attention to what I'm saying.
She's like, what? I just got pounded. She's smoking a cigarette. I'm off duty right now. I ain't at the hospital. I just got pounded by my zombie husband.
She's actually at the hospital actively sewing up a wound and someone walks in and is like, hey Eve, it's your husband on line two, and she leaves her sewing of the wound and it's like, okay, I'll go answer the phone.
This could take a minute. This person's under anesthesia, it's fine, they'll be fine, they're bleeding out.
Such a side note, but it made me laugh because she's like, okay, and she goes to grab it and that's when he's like,
listen carefully,
the man you think is your husband isn't.
Who is this?
Please just listen, take Jamie. Go to your mother's. Don't tell them where you're going. Just go.
Whoever you are, don't call again.
Are you kidding me? Of course it's my husband. The face is the same.
I've already cut holes in all my pantyhose. It's too late now.
He made me lobster. He made me spaghetti with Pragoo. Because he paid for Pragoo, the good stuff. Because he has that embezzlement money.
Are you trying to say Prego or Ragu? But you're saying Pragoo.
Pragoo. Actually, I know how I went to the spaghetti sauce when it should have been the lobster tails. He used his money gold clamp to my lobster tails.
He lit 112 candles.
He seductively took off my turtleneck. It was so sexual.
So anyway, the whole point is like he's kind of embedding in the family life and he's like kind of enjoying the perks of doctor wife, and he's teaching, he's kind of being a decent human being and teaching the daughter how to defend herself while still actively insulting her and telling her it's her own fault.
Yeah, but. And hitting on her and being really seductive to her. Anyway, it's bizarre.
Right. We're going to go back to John Travolta's Nicolas Cage, who now has to decide how he's going to get the FBI involved, because he just, if he can get the FBI to where he's at, he can maybe explain what's going on, right?
John Travolta, we saw this in the prison. You ain't getting nowhere.
Well,
you ain't getting nowhere with that. You got a different person's face on your face.
Well, he looks exactly like Nicolas Cage. He's, you know what, too? He found somewhere along the line, like a silk shirt and a trench coat. Somehow when he got out of the ocean.
Well, now he's got to dress like Nicolas Cage, too.
Yeah, so he's like, you know, he's completely just 100% passing as Nicolas Cage. So he goes to the warehouse where his drug dealer slash bomb provider lives.
It's speed dial.
It's supposed to be a hideout, but it's like a very tastefully refurbished warehouse that's right in the middle of the city with floor-to-ceiling windows. Like,
you guys,
there's nothing secret about
this hideout. Literally anybody in the city. If I was eating popcorn watching my Golden Girls, I could look over and see like, oh, look, it looks like really shady characters are with gold money clips.
I think they're assembling a bomb.
I think they're assembling a bomb. You know what? Those guys look like murderers, and like that, it's a crazy house. It's so ridiculous. It's so stupid. And also, how does he know how to get there?
I think you keep forgetting that he's been chasing
this
Nick
is his
Cage for 6 years.
Well, then why didn't he chase Nick down to his secret facility where he's making a bomb? Now he decides, you know, he's like, you know what? I should have just done this all before. I've been looking for this guy for 6 years, but now that I'm him, I know exactly where
to the warehouse.
I got straight to the warehouse, but now that I'm him, I know where to go. And that's good.
So his plan is to get, you know, he's like, where would the FBI be looking for this person? Clearly at the secret warehouse. So he's
the secret, not so secret, very bright, classy, Florida windows.
And all of his friends are there. All of his fellow terrorist buddies are there, and they're doing drugs, and so
because they're bad, they're terrorists.
And drugs he's trying to look so cool and natural, like totally play off Nick Cage. And so he's like, yeah, totally, I want to do drugs too. I'm really good at doing drugs.
I am not a former FBI agent. I don't know what you guys are talking about.
So he's trying to be as obvious as possible, because if the FBI is looking for him and they look through the window, that's very clear.
If the FBI or anybody at all was looking for him, a concerned neighbor that saw it on the news, hey, that guy that escaped the mental prison, he's right there in that giant warehouse.
So he's trying to lure them to the warehouse so that they can do two things. Find him and he can explain the situation, and B, have a shootout and kill all the bad guys at once. While he's there, he runs into Nicolas Cage's baby mama.
And guess who she is played by? She is played by the one and only woman that played on Striptease, or not Strip, not Showgirls, alongside Nomi. She's the one that kept saying, darling. She's like, hey, darling, yo, darling. Anyway, she's very hot. She's peak 90s.
Oh, she was, super, super popular. And so anyway, she tells him, like,
don't you want to talk?
No talk I ever heard from you is suck my tongue, love your ass, and see you. Take this filthy shit off, put this on, and get out of here.
Oh, God, what is with Nicolas Cage and sucking tongues?
So much tongue sucking.
Which sounds familiar. Oh, yeah, the lady you pushed out of the plane, I heard. I was watching. She was screaming about how she had to suck your tongue and didn't even get her peach eaten. Yeah.
So you can tell they left on bad terms, okay? They're fighting. Well, because, of course, she thinks that it's bad guy Nick Cage. She doesn't know it's JT. It's Nick Cage. Never mind. His face is sloughing off. So,
never mind. She's like, didn't they catch you and put you in a facility and your brother?
Right.
Why wouldn't her
she
brother
talk to her? Well, she heard the rumor that he was out of prison because it's been on the news at this point.
International
that he's escaped,
drug. Okay,
right? So she's like, you got to get out of here. They're gonna make the obvious choice and come straight to the warehouse. And he's like, yeah, I know that's kind of what I wanted to do, but he can't tell her that because he's trying to be Nick Cage. So he sees all of a sudden this little boy step out of the shadows. And she's like, oh, yeah, that kid, He's yours.
Oh, surprise now?
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. Got feelings now? Pushing people
so
out of planes?
Like, you
got a boy.
Get out of here. Like, this is your kid. He's never met you before. Come introduce yourself and then get the fuck out of here because the FBI is coming.
I would say do not introduce yourself. I would just say get the fuck out of here. This kid does not need to know about his criminal dad.
That's the weird part.
You go introduce your criminal self to our son. Explain what you did. Tell him you pushed that woman out of the plane. Tell him that you let your son suck tongue. Tell him that you're a criminal because I want him to know. That is the worst thing. That's the weirdest part, though.
She's trying to get him out. And then she's like, come over here real quick. Meet your dad. And I'm like, this is the moment. This is the moment that you're like, come meet your dad in the middle of this chaos, this man you've never seen before who's high as a kite on drugs. So he says hi, and then John Travolta's Nick Cage is flipping out because he's having like this psychotic break. Not only is he in a different body with a different face, he's seeing this kid who he thinks is his own kid reincarnated. He's absolutely having a meltdown.
Well, he just swam through the ocean. He had to track down this warehouse. He's pretending to do drugs. He's got a lot on his mind.
So he's apologizing to this kid who's not his. He's like, I'm so sorry. I will keep you safe. I promise. But for right now, there's going to be a shootout. And I'm going to need you to listen to your headphones.
Let me put on some Baby Shark. Baby Shark, and it's just like, don't mind put on, I don't know, a sleeping mask so he doesn't see the shootout, because I think that would be a lot more traumatizing than hearing a shootout.
That's what made me laugh so hard. It's like there's this shot of this kid with his little radio headphones on, and he's watching people die and be blown up and blown into pieces.
And kids are dumb. They have no idea what's going on. If you put a pair of headphones on some kids, you'll never, just whatever.
They're never going to know what's going on. It's fine. So that's how they choose to shield him from the trauma of the shootout. And so this whole shootout starts. Everybody's being bombed. Don't worry about it.
FBI shootout, blah, blah, blah.
But guess what? At the last minute, Nicolas Cage as John Travolta shows up to the shootout. And so he shows up to the shootout as John Travolta. Nick Cage and John Travolta, it gets very convoluted because they're like each participating in this shootout as a participant of the other person's team and fighting their former friends. So all you need to know is that somehow they both walk away from this shootout still alive and everyone else is dead. That's all you gotta know.
Makes sense. Makes perfect sense.
So we get back to the FBI office, and the leader of the FBI comes in, who we've met previously. He was the same guy who was like, hey, this doesn't seem like you. What's going on? Maybe the only guy with any sense of like, this is not right. So
the only person. The only person.
Literal only person. So he's like, listen, we're friends. But I feel like your methods of just sort of like blowing up warehouses downtown might be a little extreme. And he's like, I don't care if you're Time Magazine's Man of the Year. And I'm
Time Magazine's Man of the Year.
It's been like a week.
Oh my God.
It's been like a week.
It was a slow year for Time Magazine that year. The head editor's like, I don't know, get that guy who defused that bomb in LA. That guy that acted like Jim Carrey, get him.
Yeah, I died. I died because I'm like, it's been a week. It's been a literal week since this all went down. And somehow Time Magazine, like, when it, anyway, point being. And Nicolas Cage's John Travolta is like, oh, are you jealous? Are you jealous because I'm getting all the kudos? And he's like, no, I'm actually just really worried about you because it seems like you're making the most extreme choices.
I'm really worried about you because your skin keeps falling off and these scars are happening. And again, you're completely acting different and bizarre.
I can actually see some of the skull bone protruding from your face.
And guess what? My sister's friends with that doctor and I know what you did. You have an empty face. They went to Chili's. They told me all about happy hour. Just kidding. He doesn't say that.
So at this point, Nicolas Cage and John Travolta does the weirdest thing in the world. He walks up behind the FBI head honcho and he goes, I am Nicolas Cage. And then he karate chops him in the back of the neck, which... Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. What the fuck move is that? It kills him, you guys. But he karate chops the back of his...
You don't know karate. Nicolas Cage went to karate. karate school. When you go to Arch Nemesis terrorist school, you learn how to karate chop and you learn all those special things.
Like, it seems like such a weird way to kill somebody. He just like bops him on the back with his little karate chop.
Convenient,
hand.
Convenient, easy. All right, so know that that guy, the only guy who had any suspicion about... I said that really weird. The only guy who had any suspicion about
anything... Is your face melting off?
He's got a face transplant. He's out of the picture. He was the head of the FBI. So now Nicolas Cage is John Travolta. His dream is coming true. He's going to take that guy's position. And keep in mind keep in mind that they didn't do fingerprint transplants. So anything John Travolta touches, they're going to be like, yeah, you killed your boss. We have it on tape. We're the FBI. We have a CCTV right there. We saw you karate chop him in the back of the neck.
That's the thing that made me laugh so hard, because he's like, number one, he doesn't call 911. He calls the receptionist and is like, call 911, which weird move.
Weird move.
Secondly, he's like, he had a heart attack. And I'm like, I know enough about crime shows that an autopsy will be like, oh, you karate chopped him.
You know, not only do we have CCTV because we're the fucking FBI, we saw you come in, karate chop him in the back of the neck, but, and your fingerprints are all over the phone because you called the operator. Like, we're the FBI. I'm pretty sure we can figure out that you killed this guy to take his job.
And but he did not have a heart attack.
He did not have a heart attack. His neck is broken. And you're at this. And there's pieces of skin everywhere because apparently there's skin sloughing off. I don't know. It's kind of weird.
Pieces of skin.
Also, like, how did Nicolas Cage as John Travolta like find his badge to be going through security clearance? He had to just stumble through all of his clothes at home. He's like, how did I got to do all this stuff to go to work? I'm pretty sure.
And he's like, hey, I left my.
I'm pretty sure the FBI has so many security clearances. So Nicolas Cage would be like, the password, it's, I forgot it. Can someone tell me? It's me. It's me, old John Travolta. You guys know me. I'm humble. I have my Congress library at home. I have a doctor wife who wears turtlenecks. You gotta give me the password.
I know all the facts about my own life. I know all of them.
All of them. I'm not acting strange at all. I know I got a little taller. I know my body's a little different. I know I sound a little different. But you get the idea.
Yeah. So anyway, point is, that's the last step in his plan. He kills the head of the FBI so he can take over and be fully in charge of a really annoying bureaucratic government agency.
Oh, he's going to be such a mole. He's going to cause chaos. He's going to erase HR files. He's going to make president speeches weird. He's going to put fireworks in the office, play office pranks. Anyway,
so many
needless
pranks.
To say, now we have John Travolta as Nicolas Cage. He goes and finds his wife, and because he's just got to tell her what's going on. Eva's a sensible, she's a blazer wearing, turtleneck wearing doctor. She's got to believe him.
He's like, she'll understand. She'll be logical about this. And he's already tried to call her because she was like, you're being crazy over the phone. But if he's like, if I sneak into our bedroom looking like Nicolas Cage, it's not going to startle her at all. Like, just got to explain the situation. It's not going to be a big deal.
And he does my favorite thing that anybody could do in any movie at any time. If you don't believe it's your husband, just start telling things that you know that only your husband would know.
Right.
Be like, hey, remember that time you had explosive diarrhea after Chipotle and you pooped on the way home on the third? And she'd be like, that sounds like something only my husband would know. But no, it's just like they have to, he like shakes her. It's me.
So he's like, you know, I'm so tired. I gotta tell you, the assignment was getting my face peeled off. And
listen, Eve. I know I told you I didn't want to talk about it. I know you're a doctor. You got a lot on your plate. I know I interrupted your sewing up somebody's bowels to take my phone call. But look, switched faces with somebody. My body hurts. Jumped out of a window. Swam through the ocean. Killed some people's family. A lot's been going on and I'm tired. But right. You got to trust me. It's me.
And he says,
I know you don't believe a word I'm saying. Well, here's proof, doctor. Your husband, me, my Sean's blood type is O negative. Castor's is AB. And I love you.
Or, I don't know, how about this? You're a doctor. Look at the scars from my face transplant.
There are no scars.
Look at my face from my transplant. Oh, by the way, look at my penis. Oh, by the way, look at all these random marks on my body. Oh, you remember that? How I lost that toenail when that horse stepped on it? Look at my foot. Any other thing to do? anything. Hey, you see how my teeth are a little bit different? See how they're dentures? See how I can take them out? Did you know that I got that procedure done? Did you know that? Bet you didn't. But no, blood type's the only thing. That is the only thing that
you
can, you can know that I'm your husband. I'm not going to tell you anything about our 20-year marriage and two kids. I will convince you with my blood type as you go get your needle and take it. So fucking stupid. So stupid.
The doctor explains that they're doing a hair follicle transplant so they have all the same body hair.
Hey, do you notice that my chest hair looks a little weird? Looks a little pluggy? Oh, remember how the shades of my skin is completely different? Remember about an olive tone and now I'm pasty white?
Does that give you any indication?
No, I wouldn't even go through any of that. I would literally just be like, we met at this time here. Just trust me.
Okay,
there's absolutely nothing he can do to show that he's been transformed into a completely different person a week ago. It is so fucking stupid. It is the stupidest thing I've ever fucking watched, and I'm getting angry.
You're forgetting that he... Okay, so he's like, take my blood. I'll meet you at the hospital. And it's not until they get to the hospital, okay? So it's not until she's done the blood work and she sees that it's his blood type and that it's really him. That's the moment that he decides to tell her all the personal stuff he knows after she's already verified it.
She's all, he's going on and on, and she's like, actually, I did the blood work. I feel a little silly because I slept with a crazy man.
I feel
a little weird because I got something to tell you. That other guy that was wearing your face, we fucked all night. She fed me lobster and spaghetti. You know that's my way to my heart. You know that opens my leggings in a minute.
She tries to be like very tactful about it. And she's like, hey, so like we've been living as man and wife for a week. And that's how she says it. She's very like,
I was a little,
you know, like how the Bible says that you're only supposed to lay with your husband. Yeah, we've been laying together, if you get what I'm saying.
Well, I was a little suspicious when his face muscles kept flopping back and forth. And I was a little suspicious when he did have a foreskin, but the Bible says, and we're religious, so, and he had your similar facial skin. So I did it.
This is my favorite part, though. So he's trying to tell her. He goes, oh, I remember when I met you. Okay, so he gives her this whole speech about when they met and taking her on a date, right? And he's like, oh, which, by the way, he says she was vegetarian, but I guess she wasn't when she was eating that lobster. Oh,
lobster and spaghetti and meatballs. She has her secrets, too. She may be a sensible doctor, but she's got her... Where does she go at night, Eve? Where do you go?
She eats so much spaghetti, you have no idea. So he tells her this story about their first date. You know, they're like... He's like, remember you cracked your tooth on a seed, and we had to drive all night to find an all-night dentist who was open. And do you remember the first time we watched this together?
Yes.
And we were dying laughing because we were thinking about like a neon sign.
Yes, that's exactly what I was going to say. You're walking around and there's a big neon sign, all night dentist, with a big arrow pointing. It's a sketchy place with bars on the windows.
A little, you know, those little like legs kicking, like those yes. lights.
All night dentist. They go in, the dentist is smoking. He's like, yeah, what do you want? I'm an all-night dentist. You know how this goes.
But that's the thing. He goes, the all-night dentist was so drunk he fixed the wrong tooth. And I'm like, guys, that's on you.
I'm pretty sure you could have been like, hey, bud, you're working on the wrong tooth.
Like, they weren't the drunk
okay,
one.
You're already at an all-night neon sign, all-night dentist. And now he's drunk working on the wrong tooth. Not only is that the worst story to tell.
Stick with it.
She's like, dude, don't bring that up. I've had this fake tooth for so long. It keeps falling off. He pulled out my real front tooth. Oh, that is a bizarre story.
Yeah,
oh,
so
I got a lot of questions about that late-night dentist.
So do I. And I want to figure out if there's, like, a whole sort of, like, underground group of all night dentists. Yeah, like, where do you think when the city comes alive?
It's like a club. It's like a neon club. They're like doing drugs in the back. The dentist is railing
apparently
cocaine,
they
and he's
are
like,
all
"Let's
drunk.
Do this. Let's do this root canal."
I mean, wouldn't you get there and be like, "This dentist seems pretty smashed. Like, maybe we should just wait until the morning."
I know. I would think, you know what? You can live with a chipped tooth for just a one night. Then we'll call our regular dentist who wasn't drunk, and we'll fix your actual tooth.
And aren't, if your whole profession is to be a late night, all night dentist, don't you know not to get drunk because you're going to be on call? That's your job. It's not like they called you and you're like a 9-to-5 dentist coming in. Like, you're an all night dentist.
I know.
That's
on
your
you
title.
Guys. You guys, if you're going to an all night dentist, you know that guy's struggling because there's no need. You know he's really aching for patients. And now you know why. Stupid story. Let's go.
Okay, so anyway, after the blood type and the all-night dentist story, she's like, "You're right, sorry, we lived as man and wife, just forget about that, but in my defense, like,
also,
I thought it was you, so
he wanted to put it in my butt, and I did. You know how you've been asking for years to do that? Well, I had lobster that night, and you know what lobster does to me, because usually I'm a vegetarian, so I was drunk on the lobs, and I let him put him in my butt. I'm sorry, but anyway, my man and life Bible, sorry. Sorry, man in white Bible. Sorry. I'm sorry that he did that. Oh, I did reverse cowgirl like 10 times. I know. I'm sorry."
He's like, "You know what? I don't need to know. I don't need to know. I don't need to know. Like, I get it. It's on me. I didn't tell you. Like, it's fine. Whatever. Whatever you did, I won't tell anybody. Just don't talk to me about it." So she's like, "I have a plan. Now that I know it's you, I've taken your blood type. Let's come up with a plan. The guy who's the head of the FBI, who's been karate chopped to death, his funeral's tomorrow at the church on the beach, and that's the only place that it's going to be a guarantee that Nicolas Cage's John Travolta shows up, because it's technically, on the surface, his boss, right? So if you show up there, he's going to be there, and you can finally have a final, I don't know, face-off?
Face-off, if you will. And then John Travolta's Nicolas Cage is like, "Okay, cool, 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 cool. One more question. Just one question. No, you were living together as man and wife. Are you only attracted to my appearance or the soul of who I am? Because,
I
don't want to really get into this, but I thought we were married and you knew my heart and soul. Looks like you don't, bitch. Looks like a criminal came in, fed you some lobster and hoard you up."
I was going to say, just looks like any Joe Schmo can walk through the door with some lobster and you'll just cut that hole right in your pantyhose.
Okay, do I need to make a mask and give it to some random dude? Not even actual skin, just a mask of my face and you'll sleep with him. But anyway, I'm not holding on to it. No grudges. Let's go. Let's go. But I will ask you questions later because...
don't ask, don't tell. Don't ask,
because
don't
my
tell.
Whole life is turned around. Okay.
So the next day, this is just basically the end. It kind of lasts forever, but it's not a whole lot happens. They just drag it out. So they go to this funeral at this church on the beach. And guys, it's so scenic. It's like this little chapel. The doors are open. The beach breeze is blowing back and forth. There are 5,000 white doves just walking, flying all over
white
the place,
doves.
Shitting all over the casket.
Open casket, open air funeral. I love it.
It's amazing. And once kind of everybody clears out of the funeral, except for Nicolas Cage as John Travolta as Nicolas Cage steps in and it's just the two of them.
And we have a face-off.
What ensues is like this incredibly long, crazy chase. So they shoot out, they get their respective gangs together. They have a shootout at the chapel all around this guy's casket.
He's been dead for a day. Nobody did an autopsy on him, I guess. They were like, "Yep, we trust everything. Let's bury him tomorrow."
I mean, good. He died in John Travolta's office, so it's all on him.
Makes
up. Sense.
Don't worry about it. We're not, no investigation of the head of the FBI. None investigation by nobody.
Never mind that we know the bad guy has escaped from prison and is probably roaming around the city. But
no,
don't worry
autopsy,
about it.
Nothing.
Don't
open,
worry about it.
This is what I got. My friend's an interior designer. Open air funeral. Beach. Thousands of doves. Nobody around. Head of FBI. No
lots
press.
Of curtains,
no
lots
government.
Of
no government. No press. Nothing. It's the head
intimate
of the FBI,
affair.
You guys. It's
intimate
very
affair.
Intimate. Okay. I went Prince playing in the background. Montage. Let's go.
Yeah. So this evolves from a shootout in the open air church to a shootout in the courtyard of the open air church to a boat chase in the ocean near the open air church. I love this boat chase for a million reasons, mostly because it's stunt people and they didn't even try to pretend like it wasn't.
Oh yeah, it's totally different people.
A whole chase with two totally different men in these boats.
It's like a fat bald guy and like another blonde haired girl.
Remember when in Baywatch Hawaii when Allie was like that?
Yes, when she jumped off and she was an old guy with a curly haired wig. Oh, it killed me.
Different. So that's kind of what's happening here. This goes on and on and on. There's boat stunts. There's,
you guys, this movie is almost 2.5 hours long.
Right. So this is, there's like really not dialogue going on. It's just chase.
And they're fighting and pulling each other's faces. And again, nothing sloughing off, but no, we're just not going to ask any questions.
High speed boats, water's involved, punching, like, yeah, you would think that at this point they're just like skeletons just fighting each
there's
other
open
on the
faces,
side of the
teeth.
Boat.
They're like,
their teeth and bones are chattering in the wind because of the speedboat.
It's all sloughed off in the water. Pelicans are picking at it.
So, long story short, this chase lasts forever. It culminates, they're back on land. They've like run the boats ashore, and one shoots the other. So it's John Travolta as Nicolas Cage. That shoots Nicolas Cage's John Travolta with a harpoon, logically. Mm-hmm. And he's just like, whatever you do, you know, like, don't touch the face. And as one last-ditch effort, Nicolas Cage's John Travolta gets, like, a piece of shard of glass and, like, cuts his face to have, like, a big scar on him. He's like, I'm dying, but you're going to have an ugly fucking face when it gets put back on your body.
And I love and how he's like, don't do anything to the face, you guys. And they just had a face off in a boat for 2 hours, shooting glass everywhere.
Yeah, not an open wound to be seen. So he dies and he's like, hurry, put him on ice. Like, I need that face ASAP. And at that moment, his wife, luckily, because I don't know if you know this, but she's a doctor, she comes up to him and she's like, listen, I know a guy in DC. He is a specialist at face transplants. So
I bet you
on
do,
his
Eve.
Way right now.
I bet you do, Eve. Did you sleep with him too? Did he give you lobster and meatballs? You fuck him too, Eve? I got some questions.
So I
told you to save my face.
Man and wife, but
I've got some questions for you. Save my damn face. Call your hookup buddy. Get him to give me a face transplant.
You said you were going to let it go. You said no questions asked.
She's like, luckily I know this all-night dentist that can definitely help you with the teeth situation.
He may be drunk, but I'm pretty sure he can reattach it, no problems. Which also, don't you feel like that effort to scar his face was just like laughable? Because hello, like clearly they're going to laser that scar off and there's going to be no trace of it.
So yeah, like, as we learned, the doctors are a miracle. I think it's laughable. I was just about to say the same thing. If I knew I was going to die and you need your face back, I'm going to like cut off my nose or stab my eyes out real quick. Cut off my ear, slice my whole face. But nope, he's like, oh, I'm going to give you a little baby scar in your chin. And then maybe someone will know that something happened to you because apparently nobody noticed anything else.
Did you just go through a traumatizing, life-altering ordeal where your face was swapped with your arch enemy because you got a little scar?
Oh, and you did? How did I not notice that? You know, last week was busy for me. Last week was busy. I wasn't really looking at your whole entire being. So.
Listen, I was Time Man of the Year, so I did not have any time. I just didn't. I'm sorry.
Well, then here's the thing. Then, okay, so the movie ends, but here's something. You bet that editor at Time Magazine is a real big goof because he's like, oh, man, he's not the Man of the Year. He was just wearing the Man of the Year's face.
I did not thoroughly check my sources.
How am I going to explain this? We're Time Damn Magazine. Now we have to release an article that's like, actually.
And we're going to print a retraction.
It wasn't the Man of the Year. He was a terrorist wearing the Man of the Year's face, but he still technically did it. So this is kind of a conundrum.
It's complicated.
The people pick.
Let's do a vote.
Not to mention everybody at the FBI like, yeah, we fucked up.
I know. This is their job. And that one person noticed that the bad guy was wearing the good guy's face.
And I'm surprised. And I'm surprised that the head of the FBI didn't know about this little face-off surgery. He's like, you know what? Where are those four really good operatives that always do secret missions? I'm really wondering where they are.
They have actually been. And then someone's like, have you seen the front page of the newspaper?
He's like, I wonder what they were doing at a secret scientist lab that got them burned. You know what?
I mean, it's weird timing because, like, they got burned at a secret lab, like, right around the time, like, this that character this started acting really different.
That this zombie character came in with sloping skin and being really weird. You know what? God, I'm not going to ask
a weird quinky dink.
Weird quinky dink there. Oh, God.
You know what? I'm about to retire, so I don't have time for it. I don't have time for
Little
it.
Did he know. Karate chop to that neck. You're not retired.
Did not see that coming.
Did anybody get the bodies? Did anybody figure out what happened to these operatives? It's just a lot of questions, you guys. A lot of questions.
So the very last thing that I'm going to touch on is that because of the shootout at the church, the baby mama was killed in the shootout. So darling, they know that that boy is left behind. So he gets his face put back on. He picks up the boy, takes him home. He's like, look, we get to put like all of our emotional baggage from our previous son who died on this little 5-year-old boy who has no idea who we are. Isn't that so cool?
But guess what? There's one more tiny thing. When I was Nicolas Cage, I put headphones on him and made him watch a shootout. Sorry, didn't realize I was going to adopt him. Sorry, my bad. Made him watch an entire shootout where he actually saw me shooting at his dad. But it's not a big deal.
I mean,
he saw my face shooting his mom and his dad and all his friends, so he probably hates me, but we're adopting him now.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be fine. We'll get a little bit of therapy. Like, it's going to work out. Don't worry about it. And we can all just pretend like he's our other son reincarnated, and that's going to be healthy for everyone involved.
Okay. Everybody. And last thing, I'm going to call a family meeting. What the fuck were you two thinking? You don't know who your fucking dad is. Some stranger wearing my face comes in, fucks your mom, flirts with you, smokes in your face. You don't bother to tell anybody. What the hell is going on?
Spies on you? Have I ever spied on you in your underwear, kid? Ever?
Have I ever blown smoke rings in your face? And she's like, well, I just thought you were being cool. I don't
you
know.
Just seemed really cool, Dad. You seemed really,
really cool.
Let me remind you, you were Time's Man of the Year. What was I supposed to do?
Was I supposed to say you were acting different to mom? And was mom supposed to say that dad's acting real different to me?
Mom's frantically cutting all the holes out of her pantyhose in the other room. She's like, don't bother me right now. Don't bother me.
I was going to ask some questions when I came home to lobster and meatballs because I know mom's vegetarian. But I didn't ask any questions. Like, it's so bizarre. And the moral of this movie is, if you want to know who your friends are, if you want to know who your true friends are, have your body swapped with a different face. That's what I'll tell you. Because apparently nobody will know. Nobody will know. Cadence, you and I could swap faces, and I just live in your house, and everybody's like, hey, Mom. I'm like, hey, guys, I forgot how to do it. They're like, Mom, where'd I put my prescription? I just have no idea what to do.
Maybe we can just go shoot the doctor.
Does anybody know where that all-night dentist is? Your kids, none of your kids notice it's any difference. They're like, Mom.
Yeah, you seem totally normal.
You seem totally fine. Remember that recipe that you love? You all of a sudden can't remember how to make it, but you seem normal. Like, no one asked anything about mental health. Like, someone could have been like, hey, this guy's acting strange. Did you change prescriptions? No. You get a different face, and you can just entirely live someone else's life.
This also feels like an easy way out. Like, now I'm wondering, does anybody do face transplants? Because, like, this doesn't seem as hard as it might have seemed before. Like, get a new face, and you could be anybody.
Yeah, you could infiltrate anybody's life.
This is amazing news.
Someone get me a Matt Damon face. I'm going to go swindle his whole life.
I was thinking that, too. I was like, find me a 19-year-old model, and I'll swap it and be in Leonardo DiCaprio's bed. Don't worry about it.
Right? I just like, can someone find me Jason Momoa's face? I'll do it. It's so ridiculous. It's the dumbest movie.
Hey, I just need Lisa Bonet's face for, like, 10 minutes or so.
Also, I got my appendix taken out, and I was in recovery for, like, 3 days. It hurt my body. Mm-hmm. It hurt my body. If my whole body was being changed, but not my fingerprints and not my penis.
Even your hair follicles.
But even the hair follicles. I would be like, this is going to take some recovery time. But nope, recovery, 2 seconds, being punched in the face, you're in crotch. It's just, this whole movie was so fucking stupid.
That lab, I don't know how many times I have to tell you this. It was A, secret. B, it was classified. And C, those doctors were doing magical procedures that no one else in the country has that proprietary information yet. That's why it's a secret lab. So, like, they're above and beyond the rest of the medical community. They're keeping and hiding this possibly life-saving procedure for themselves because you never know when the FBI might need it.
It's so stupid. So stupid. And they don't have security. And they don't have security. And they don't have any security cameras anywhere.
No night shift. That's what happens when only four people are in on this op.
That's what I'm saying. You gotta get some
backup plans. We can't work 24 hours a day.
We can't hire an electrician to buy, put CCTVs in here. Like, there's no way to be like, hey, there's a lab. And, like, my favorite part of the whole movie is just Nicolas Cage waking up casually without a face. And he's like,
oh, so good.
He's immediately like, oh, I need
this
or this.
He's listening to opera.
He's listening to opera, watching TV, smoking with his face off, literally smoking a cigarette with his little muscle lips or his teeth.
I keep picturing his little teeth just yeah. like trying to bite that Cuban cigarette in his mouth. Like, oh, I got it. No, I got it. It's cool. I got it.
And that's, I'm just sitting there thinking you'd be dying of pain. There's no pain pills in the world that's going to help you live with that kind of pain.
Yeah, also, when he rattles that Vicodin bottle, I'm like, there's absolutely zero way that would even kind of numb that pain of having your face off.
I'm pretty sure the carcinogen in your cigarette would burn your muscle face, contaminate it, you get bacteria. Ugh. But my favorite thing is just John Travolta's face floating in the little, it's just like casually floating there right by Nicolas Cage's bed. Mm-hmm. Nicolas Cage wakes up, what's going on? And sees John Travolta's face in a little vial.
And he puts two and two together. He's like, huh, if my face is off and his face is in that goo,
I'm going to get those doctors here with my henchmen. Also, it's like,
I might have figured this
if
out.
If I was John Travolta, I'd have put in my contract, one thing, can you please keep my face skin very hidden? Can you put it away in a vault? Because I don't think leaving it right by Nicolas Cage's bed is the best thing.
Space.
In the wide open, just with him looking at it. Could you do that for me for a minute?
Yeah, just, you know, like, maybe just put it in like a locker or maybe like a safe with a combination. Just any, I mean, that's my face we're talking about.
I mean,
about.
I'm pretty much head of the FBI, so maybe you want to take some precautions, but you know what? Leave it in a tank right by his bed. You do you.
You guys
and
are
no
the,
security
you
guards,
guys are
no
the
cameras.
Secret doctors.
You're the secret doctors. You guys have your ways. Also, another question. Do they take the eyelids or is it just his eyes open all the time? Was he smoking that cigarette with his eyes
Colin.
Wide open? He can't blink.
He didn't have eyelids because that was part of the skin they took. And I think,
and everyone knows your eyelid muscles just reconnect really easy. You wouldn't have like droopy, non-working eyelids.
As the doctor said, after that, it's just a matter of connecting all the muscles and nerve endings.
Except for your eyelids, they're just going to be kind of half open all the time with anyone you talk to.
Listen, just be charismatic. No one will notice.
Hey, Nick Cage, it looks like you got some ear plugs. When did you get that done? We're your henchmen. We know everything about you. What are you doing? Oh, such a dumb movie. Geez. I think it just questions the intelligence of everybody watching it. There are so many plot holes, loopholes.
Guys, nobody has haircuts mid-surgery.
You're still mad about that?
That is a completely sanitary environment. You know, long surgeons have to scrub up and they can't touch anything. Like,
they just got some hipster stylish. She's a chewing gum. Are we going for more like a evil henchman vibe or like head of the eye vibe?
Are and we like, doing like the Caesar? It's really hot right now. George really Clooney's hot. Got it on ER and everyone loves it.
It's so stupid. There's so many stupid things. And I'm telling you, if you woke up in a hospital bed with your bandages, my first instinct wouldn't be to rip the bandages off my face. I'd be like, I think these are there
for
sure a reason.
Expose the skin.
I'm pretty sure.
Oh, gross! It is this. Are the bandages like right on his eyeballs because he doesn't have eyelids?
Yes. So his eyes are just rubbing on those. Oh, now I know I had to take the bandages off because his eyes were rubbing against him.
It's like, I kind of see something. He's and like, it's real irritating.
It's really irritating. So I'm gonna rip these bandages, which is a fuse to my face muscle, off, and then I'm gonna smoke a cigarette. Where do you get the cigarette? So many questions. Where did he get clothes? Where did he get anything? I don't know.
He was wearing the hospital gown. Don't worry. I mean, I don't know how he got dressed enough to leave that facility at that point, but he had hospital gown.
Yeah, because they burned the clothes of the bodies of the doctors. So
I was going to say, like, maybe he undressed them first and then.
And that's
like,
what
okay,
the fuck I'm saying. The doctor got burned anyway. So why just say, no, not going to do it? And the doctor probably felt like a big
old
goof.
You know that he probably was like, all I gotta do is listen to these chaotic world terrorists. And if I do what they say, they're gonna let me go. Obviously, they have to have some shred of decency.
Yeah, because of course they're gonna let me go. And I'm not gonna say anything that I just face transplanted a terrorist. Like, think, doctor, it's really all on you. You could have been like, nope, I don't wanna do this. Don't wanna do
it. Listen, they say that you don't know how you're gonna react to something traumatic until it happens to you. So there's no right or wrong way to know how to act when someone has a gold gun to your head and they're like, please put this face on me.
Oh, this movie.
You're
so
being
stupid.
Really judgmental.
I'm not a doctor. I'm not a secret doctor in a secret lab. I don't know. Anyway, I hope you guys enjoyed this awful. Like we said, this is not totally a B movie, but from the plot you just
content
heard, you
wise,
pretty understand
yeah.
this is
content a, wise 100%.
Content wise. 1000% B movie. Did it have a big budget? Did it have two famous actors? Yes. And in the 90s, you guys, it got a 92% on Rotten Tomatoes. Yeah. People loved it.
Yeah.
It blew our little 90s minds. But I was like angry watching it because it was just so ridiculously stupid.
Around it, every corner was like something that made less sense than the thing before it. It really was.
I would be furious if my friends and family were just sitting pretty with some guy that was wearing my face on it. Okay, I'd be furious. Everyone's like, "Oh yeah, we had a great time with that Mark character that was wearing your face." I'd be like,
"Yeah, we took family pictures."
You guys, no one noticed I was completely different person. Well, he kind of had your voice.
The same jokes.
Didn't make the same jokes, and it moved the same. Didn't look this. Ugh, it's so fucking stupid. Anyway, yeah. All right, we're
we
thinking
could
too
talk
much
about
into
this
it
for the next 5 hours.
Yes, but this podcast has already gone on for too long. Thank you so much for joining us. We're excited to bring this to you, and until next time,
bye.